A conflict of interest is always a concern, and you need to be aware of the potential for conflicts of interest. But Larry said it best, you know, it's kind of hard to have this ranch and this situation we're in and not have some conflict of interest, because somebody's got to help somewhere else, and we got to help each other. And I think it's more of an opportunity to work together. As being just a hired employee, I have some input, which I think we need.
Well, and we've discussed in our meetings when you weren't there that and you've been agreeable thus far through the process. If there's something that involves continued engagement of the property management company or an issue there, then we'll simply ask you not to vote or to not participate if we identify or feel like there's a conflict of interest. Just so everybody knows, a conflict of interest is any time that you have a personal financial stake in a decision being made for the benefit or detriment of the ranch members. And so we're aware of that. And let's face it, in a small community like the ranch, then there are going to be issues that come up. But like you say, we need to try to help each other and address those issues as they come up.
Yeah.
If we wanted a pure, never have a conflict of interest, we'd have to try to find somebody that has no involvement at the ranch, which is virtually impossible to get them up there to do the work that needs to be done. And I quite honestly feel like whoever the property manager is, or back when it was an employee position, they have to have a vested interest in the ranch and some feeling of ownership, or else you don't really get the job done right. So unless there are any questions or comments, then we'll move on to the next item.
Are those official minutes of our December meeting?
Those are not part of the December meeting. There was no in the executive session, because things that are sensitive are discussed, we don't keep minutes. But when a vote of the board is taken to make these decisions, then it needs to be recognized. So that will be part of the January meeting minutes.
Okay. I didn't understand exactly how that.
And that
will become part of the January's meeting minutes.
Yeah, we're reporting to the membership now what took place in December, and that decision would have been made in an executive session anyway, even if we had a regular board meeting in December. It would have been reported half an hour later rather than 30 days later. So, all right, with that, then we'll move on to the treasurer's report. Joe?
Okay. I don't have any dollar amounts right in front of me, and Mariah's got them all anyhow, so. But I wanted to first of all thank the Collinses. They delivered the batteries that we bought for the ranch back to Las Vegas. That had to hurt your gas mileage.
Wow. I was going anyway. I don't care.
But then I was concerned in the far as the money goes. I called Mariah the other day, and she had not received the check for the credit for the batteries. So I called Factory Motor Parts. And they said, well, we're sending the check out this week. I says, where are you sending it? And they said, 1171 1250 St. George. Well, that's the golf course where they were delivered. So luckily I called in time, and the check has been rerouted to go to Mariah at the Kanab post office box. And originally they quoted me $780 credit, core credit. They said they're going to send a check for $831 core credit. So we're getting, we called to return them to St. George to save some gas time, but they were only offering $12 a battery, and they were offering almost $50 a battery. So thanks to the Collinses, we got the full credit back for that.
Awesome.
And we should get a check. And it's coming from Minneapolis, I think, so it might take a week to get it, but at least it's on its way. And as far as everything else goes, we're in the green. We had a good year, and Mariah's got all the reports on her record, so I'll turn it over to her for her report.
Okay. Okay, so what I wanted to do today was just bring everything in a format that everyone could look at the same time. So we're going to be back and forth between documents, but we'll start with this one here. This is what I use to project the year-end expense account.
It's fine, but
is that a little better? Mm-hmm. A little more stable? Okay.
Is the glare hurt, or do we need to close the blinds?
No, that's fine. All right.
So on this right-hand side right here, you'll see some of the special projects that we completed this year. I like to keep a list, and if board, if anything comes off the top of your mind, or if there's anything that we were able to do, I like to have what I call a little brag list of things that were done and completed at the ranch, special projects that we did. So this is what I've been able to put together just off the top of my head. Are there any other items that I may have missed?
Since we can't quite read it, could you read through our very...
Go ahead.
Okay, cabin 7 renovation, cabin 3 renovation and landscaping, new refrigerator for ranch house, new refrigerator for cabin 7, propane fire pits for cabin 1, 2, and 4, new batteries for ranch solar system, and a lawnmower for headquarters.
You got that lawnmower this year?
Yeah, we bought that this year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a set of blades in the tool shed. Does anybody know anything about those for that lawnmower?
I doubt it. Are you talking about the push lawnmower?
No, these would be for like a riding lawnmower. These are, I can barely pick them up.
Well, that would be for the...
Those are for the brush hog.
Yeah, we ordered extra ones for the brush hog.
Okay, so those are extras. So I should store those where...
Where they are.
Yeah.
So they
might be tripped over. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So you could probably sharpen them and then just switch them out and then sharpen them later.
Was there anything else that you can think of? If you do, let me know, and I'll put together this final report, and then I put it in our books to just remember year to year what accomplishments we've made as a board, you've made as a board. So as you'll see, our income this year was at $200,900. Then going down, these are just the general categories. I did divide up cabins 1, 2, 4, 6, 9, 10, and garden separate from 7 and 8 and separate from 3 so that we could see where those ended up. Let me just get those numbers a little bit bigger and slide this over so you can see a little bit better what we're talking about. Can you see those yet, Candy? Not yet, probably, huh? They're small for me sitting right here. One more. Okay, there you go. Now you can take a look better at where we ended up. So everything in green are the categories. So there, we start with automotive. Everything in green are the categories that we were under budget in. Everything in white are the categories that we were over budget. Not too much alarm going from year to year. Cabin 3 was an unexpected improvement that we paid out. This special savings account that's highlighted here in line 42 there, this special savings account is the benefit account that we put money away in. It is not going to show up on your P&L, so I set it in here so that we could see it coming out of money.
And what is the benefit money for?
The benefit money was being set aside as an incentive program. I don't know. Any other discussion on that? You're welcome to.
That's something we can talk to you and explain in the executive session.
Okay.
Okay, and so coming on down where we ended up with, I have not had the trailer money clear. There are a few purchases that happened in 2019 right at the end that I've just transferred over to 2020. They're small amounts, but the trailer purchase I wanted us to take out of our 2019 budget. So it's going to show up here. So in the end, let me make this even a little bigger because these are the numbers that really matter now. In the end, our total income for 2019 was at $201,000. And our total expense was $171,000, leaving us with a revenue of almost $30,000 at the end of the year. Now, why did we have this? That's an important question. Take a look at this before we go on. This is what our budget comparative was. This is what we started the year expecting to have for income and expecting to have as expenses, and with the difference below. That $3,000, again, is because of that incentive package, because it just doesn't show on the P&L. Okay, so why do we have so much left over? Well, we had an increase in income. The past due accounts, we really made some gains on that, and we brought in a lot of those. In fact, all of them were paid in full this year. That's something, I don't know how long that's been. And we've got a few that we'll have to process this year, I'm guessing. But we've been able to get all of those paid in full. An increase in the cabin fees also produced more revenue and brought more income in. And donations by members, of course, Dale Clarkson being here, thank you, for substantial donations received this year in order to help us cover some of those costs. Expenses, we had many budgets that remained under budget. One of the biggest ones is a carryover. We're going to talk about that in just a minute with the water budget. There was money set aside, a substantial amount set aside, for improving the water system, and it just didn't happen this year. We only got so far. So that left us a lot of money sitting in the bank. And then, again, that special project money that was retained that was not spent. So let me come back over here. In the end, at the remaining of the end of year, after I've subtracted that $1,200 for the trailer that we've purchased, and leaving $10,000 in the checking account, which I like to just have there just in case, that leaves us with $42,000 left at the end of this year in our checking account to be transferred or to be retained for special projects for this year. That's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Is there a category also that we put money aside and a special, what do we have in the savings
account? Yes, so in our savings account right now, great question. This one's going to be teeny tiny, so I'll tell you about. But we have essentially several categories. We have the ranch house solar batteries we put money away for. We have headquarters water pump we put money away. Headquarters generator, unleaded gasoline tank that's going to need a replacement repairs. Then just miscellaneous repairs, and then our additional reserves. So, yes, in our savings account right now, we have up here in this top corner, we have $34,000, almost $35,000. That's in total. Then if you subtract out all of the earmarks we've made, we have essentially $15,600 available that is not assigned, correct.
So do we put a percentage of the previous year back into the savings again like we've done before? So that is part of how you put the budget together this time, too?
Yes, that is correct. And it's actually not a percentage. It's just based on a dollar amount we felt like we could put out. So usually each category is getting about $1,000 each month, or each year, rather, excuse me, at the end of the year. So there is the option to go there.
So part of the discussion today will be deciding what we do from last year to this year,
right,
given what we're going to discuss as far as special projects or none of those kind of things.
So I'm going to pause here. You can see in this category funds requested for retainment from the checking account. We'll come back and discuss that in a little bit when we get to the budgets, and I can explain more about those. But going on with some of our statistical information for the end of the year, let's take a look over here. So I like to put together, I'm very visual, I like to put together charts so that I can appreciate where money's going and understand it better. Let me get rid of this. So, as you can see here, our number one source of revenue is our assessments. Number two is cabin reservations. And then grazing contract and wildlife income come in at number three. Donations for 2019 were number four, and then so on and so forth from just general tricklings in at that point.
What is the wildlife revenue from?
Deer tags.
Deer tags?
Deer tags?
Yeah. Larry Gill.
What was it this year?
12,000.
12 something.
Something.
Yep.
12 forecast for this year is 12,500.
Yeah. Yeah, it was greater
it was
this year than last year.
It was close to 12,000 last year, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 10,800.
Yeah,
$10,000.
It was up there.
And then here are our expenses, so you can see where our expenses have been. As I compare them to other years, we're pretty close to the same generally. All of these numbers, these percentages end up generally being about the same. Of course, cabins was a little bit higher this year because we had two cabin renovations. But
was the garden cabin like septic tank? That was the year before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The same time, cabin one.
Year, cabin one and the garden.
Yeah, cabin one was earlier 18. In the year, and garden cabin was earlier in the year.
Are there any other questions on this one? Okay. Let's skip over here. Okay, and then final statisticals on cabin usage. So this year we had a little bit of a dip in our cabin usage compared to other years, as you can see here. Try to get this even bigger. We'll go across the board. I'll make you dizzy if you watch tonight. Okay, membership cabin usage. These are all in color order, so we've got zero in 2016. I didn't have good records to keep. from. So 2017, 21% of the membership, that's what we're, actually I should say 21% of lots, because several members own several lots. So I count lots so that we know how many lots are using their member time. 31% last year and 27% this year. Water hauling contracts, you can kind of see where we're at with that. Member assessment, that's this big one here, how many are current on assessments at the end of the year. And then our last one, lot ownership changes. We've had an increase this year. We had 20 lot ownership changes. And, of course, I haven't put
in Mariah, let me interrupt you real quick. Please? Just so I understand. On the current assessments.
Yes.
Scroll to the very top of that tall tower. Because sometimes in our minds we're thinking of 300 or 305, the number of lots. But I think 291... or somewhere there close, is 100% of the lots that actually pay.
Yes, that's correct.
Taking into consideration the association lots that don't pay and the board members that are given their association dues. So is 291, I've forgotten. But
so 299 are the actual number of lots minus the board. Yeah, so we would be right in there. I think we've got one extra because of Phil Hall has a contract out that we give him a double lot because of some road development that he did. He's just finished part of that, just barely. So he won't have that in the future. But yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. 100%.
And it's noted for the cabin usage that two cabins are basically out of commission for the time frame that... last year, cabin 7 and
so
cabin
that's pretty
3.
Good.
So you put that in with your report. It's not all the number of cabins being used.
Mm-mm.
So I think that could be a note or asterisk for reasoning what happened.
Right, that we have some cabins out. Speaking of cabins, this is our year-end cabin usage. So overall, our cabins are being used. This number over here, again, sorry, let me make this bigger. This number right here, this average number, shows us how much the cabins are being used. They're being used about 41% of their availability as an average. I keep track of how many nights. So here's total possible usage nights. Here's how many nights the cabins could be used based on availability. Of course, you can see here, this is cabin 3 that we were renovating. This is cabin 7 we were renovating. So they're going to have a 0%. But our top three cabins of usage this year was Garden Cabin, Cabin 1, and Cabin 2.
I was going to ask who Rena was.
I know. It should be two N's, huh? I was really abbreviating.
No, that's okay.
These numbers in here show how many nights out of the month each of the cabins were being used to. That's what these numbers stand for. So in comparative... 2019 to 2018, we're at 55%. Again, cabin 1, cabin 4, garden cabin as our top three. And 2018 at 44%, or 2017 rather, at 44%. And cabin 1, cabin 8, cabin 9, and garden cabin. Excuse me, cabin 10 and garden cabin. So, are there any questions on those?
This will be great to track for the next few years.
Yeah, it really, I think it, I like to see them. I like to see what's going on and know what's going on. So that's the end of the year-end projections and all of those. And I will make those available. We can send them out either by email or put them on the website.
I would like to go more the direction of posting them on the website.
Perfect.
And then just reminding members to look there. I'm not sure that we want to clog their emails with a lot of stuff that they may or may not look at. But this is certainly something that needs to be posted on the website for a review between now and the annual meeting so they can look at it.
Sounds good.
Any questions? All right. As far as year end, that takes care of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're ready to, let's see. Before we jump into the budget stuff, let's skip over and finish go through the current status and what we're doing, just so that we can leave the best to last. As far as an update on the ranch management, I want to remind everybody I would like to use the term property manager for the
for Kurt's company. We gave kind of an update on what, or Mariah read kind of an update, but I'd like to turn time over to Kurt just to talk about where we're at as far as the ranch, the needs, what he anticipates doing to improve everyone's overall experience, and what problems he's facing and what we can help out with. So, Kurt, take it away.
Okay. On the most base level, okay, you guys pull down maybe that's the word.
Right on.
We're introducing AP vouchers, and these are for basically an explanation of everything you spent, every invoice, every receipt, where the money comes from, where it goes, and so forth. And in addition to that, these support spreadsheets over budgets that we've yet to approve, projects that help us manage the money that's being spent on a project, so we always know where we spent, where we're at, and this information will always be available at the ranch house. And I volunteered, I'm asking only that everybody that has an invoice or receipt bring it through the ranch house so we have one solid location where they're compiled, and then monthly or bi-weekly, however Joe and Mariah want to do it, I'll report to them with these this information. In the interim, I'll be putting stuff in the spreadsheets, and I'll be helping track everybody's budgets, and eventually everybody that's willing will be managing their own budgets, and if they're not, then I'll be doing it for them or helping them with it. And hopefully in meetings future, we'll be reporting off of these spreadsheets, so it'll be to accurately tell everybody where we're at and what we're doing past that tomorrow.
Do you think we ought to put that on the website and the financial for anybody that's winner?
We can put it on Google Doc, put it on it. If everybody's going to be able to look at it, then it should be somewhere where I'm able to update it constantly and keep them up to date. So people can know where. I mean, there's no reason why people don't know where we're spending money. We're talking
exactly
about it. This is how they can track it. So,
I think that we go through this fairly regularly at the board meetings, and it's included in the board meeting minutes. This is just me.
Sure.
I don't know that it's necessary to post it and then try to keep it updated on a weekly or monthly basis. They have an opportunity. Members have an opportunity at the annual meeting to review what we've done with the money on an annual basis, and they can check on the meeting minutes. We go through a financial, summary every time we do, just to save work for you and others on things that I'm not sure people will be paying a lot of attention to. I think as long as we include whatever the updates are in our meetings, that's probably good enough.
And these spreadsheets are tools for operations, just to run any department, any project, and it doesn't need to be out there. But
and board members really are the only ones with the area of responsibility to as far as making decisions and those kind of things. So that's
my question was to have this put on so somebody can get to it easier without having to bother Mariah. That's what I was asking.
To get the
AP vouchers. Yeah. That's what I'm asking.
I think.
I'm sure we can figure something out.
We can.
There is a Google Doc.
Everybody's got to get some yellow paper, though.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
If you use Google Docs, then everybody could manage it online, and it's on it.
Well, the thing is you don't want
a bunch of people.
You don't want people able to input on it. You want to be able to read it, but.
We just need a form to be able to print. I'll just have to access a form that we have or something printed off at my office for on yellow sheet for whatever I have, which is three things a year. Remind me, I need to talk about one of those today.
Okay.
I have a great printer at the ranch house.
You have a printer at the ranch house now?
Yeah. Well, I just need to get it to talk to my computer. We're having coffee in the morning.
You pour a coffee on it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of you keeping this kind of spreadsheet. So to get an inventory for specific teams. Well, I've got to buy one because we lost the other one.
Oh, believe me.
We don't have it because we have bought so much. I can't tell you how many times in terms of tools. And it's if we have this, then if someone leaves, we should have that still. And not buying it again because they lost it.
Yeah, ranch assets are definitely something that I'm going to be keeping track of. I've already ripped apart the tool room. I've got some plywood in the back of my truck. Yes, I'm going to spend a few bucks to build some good workbenches. They're going to be there in 50 years, and they're going to be just as good then as they are now. And it, in addition to being good workbenches, they're going to have some storage on them. I am going through there. One thing I need to, I guess, make a request is we're collecting stuff at the ranch that people don't want, and they think, well, maybe they can use it at the ranch. One of the big issues that we have at the ranch right now, these are things that I'm trying to work with, is we don't have any workable buildings on the ranch, really. We don't have anywhere to work. Everything we have has fallen down or fallen, or it's just, you know, or it's extremely overused, like the tool room. We have 19 half-inch open-end wrenches, which is more than we need. I was telling Brent the other day, you know, I'm going through the sockets, wrenches, all the tools that are in this tool room, and I'm going to put together a couple good sets of tools, and then I'm putting a box outside for people to grab, and if nobody grabs them, they're going to go to Goodwill, because we don't need, we just don't need piles and piles and piles of sockets. And whenever you use piles of sockets, and there's broken faucets in there that are being set aside for in case we need parts. Well, I promise you that there are not two plumbing items in all 10 cabins that are the same, unless one person bought them on sale. And you're saving something well intended for getting parts off of it, but it's going to sit there in the way collecting dust that it has to jump on. And so I'm going to ask that people stop donating stuff. We have 7 bathtubs. That's plenty. I don't know what the plan is for all those bathtubs, but they're just piled on top of each other and they're spread out and they're not plugged up, so they don't hold water. They're set up to be troughs. I get that, but they're not finished. The project's not done. There's no water system into the corrals, which I'm working on.
Are they cast iron ones?
Yeah, they're cast iron tubs. A couple of them are foot tubs. There's like 6 wheelbarrows that are busted in one form or another, laying all over the place. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, we got to have a good platform to work from to be successful in any kind of work that we're doing. And so the spreadsheets and the AP vouchers creates transparency. Everybody knows what's going on. There's no questions about anything that's spent because we have an explanation for it. And that's for everybody's protection, everybody's awareness. And then on the other hand, we need to get the ranch buildings, the headquarters, cleaned up and organized with what we have so we can really identify. And one of the big things, and I have a proposal out to build a building to replace another building there, which is something I guess we'll get into. But yeah, that's my goal right now, is just get a platform to work from. So that if somebody needs an inch and a half socket, Larry can say, where is it? And I tell right where it is. And he can put it right back.
I have two sets, one for your work truck and then one for on the
road. Yeah, I have my Jeep up there. And I have every hand tool, wrench, everything that I would reasonably need to use is in my Jeep. So I can drive anywhere on the ranch. And I have my tools. Right now they're a bit of a disorganized mess just because it's not set up the way I want it yet. And moving, I have a kitchen sink or something in there, I don't know.
We as far as that goes, I agree with simplifying and that kind of stuff. Extra tools and those kind of things, I'd propose that we put them in the annual auction so that members can buy what they want.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Great idea.
Speaking of hand tools.
Put them for sale and buy something that's needed.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a difference. There's a fine line between junk and stuff that has some value, but that we just need to determine what we can offer to the members. I know in the past we have some saddles and some of those kind of things. I'm all for cleaning things up. Faucets and some of that kind of stuff that's really never going to do any good. I mean, you're not going to take a used part off of an old faucet unless it's an emergency, and in most cases you don't have time to find it in an emergency, you're going to go to the hardware store and pick up a new gasket.
Well, you know, there's another case. I've got a dozen sets of doorknobs.
We don't need
them. Did you, all of them?
Brand new ones?
Yeah, there's four packs of two, and then there's packages here and there elsewhere.
They were all in one spot, and then they got scattered?
Well, they're all in one spot. I mean, it's not where they're going, but, you know, right now, I've pretty much gutted one side of the tool room, and where the workbench is in there, that's got to come out, and then I can get to all the stuff that's underneath it, and then I'm going to rebuild a new bench in there. And then I'm going to just reorganize everything coming out of there, and then I'm in the tool room. In the tool room, we also have more plumbing stuff in the tool room, which, I don't know, it's tough to figure out space. I'm looking at the carport, seeing how I can put some cabinets in there, some kind of storage in there for stuff. Maybe the auto parts. I don't know if we have keys for the toolboxes that are in the tool shed, but maybe we can move the auto parts, tools, wrenches and stuff out into the carport, put locks on the boxes, alleviate the space a little bit so that we can do small projects in those two rooms, like building shutters for cabins or picture frames or, you know, birdhouses for kids or whatever. We've got a place to do something.
Well, I think once we get the refrigerators figured out, we'll have five sitting out there on the porches. Yeah.
Speaking of tools and toolboxes, Tuesday of next week, I'm going with my son to some person's house. I don't know what the reasoning is. I think somebody died. And this woman is selling a 6 foot or 7 foot Snap-on toolbox, fully loaded. The toolbox alone is probably worth $7,000, if not more. I haven't bought one in a lot of years. I've got one, but mine's older than Larry. Anyway, I would say this toolbox is probably worth between $15,000 and $25,000, and I think we can get it between $4,000 and $5,000 for the everything complete. And it's mostly Snap-on, if anybody's interested. Besides the ranch.
Yeah.
But I won't know until Tuesday what it physically looks like until I put my own eyes on it.
I've noticed we have some real specialty tools for like working on backhoes and bigger equipment.
Called a hammer.
Yeah. I was talking about the box of dynamite. Yeah, so, you know, so far this month I spent time working in the tool shed. I've gone through the cabins. Before we get into budgets, I would like to say we need to start looking at the large case price tags on fixing some of these cabins, because it's just going to be what's going to be. I went into cabin 6, and honestly, I probably wouldn't want to get in that shower with my clothes off. It's just needs a lot of loving. I mean, the floors are delaminating, the shower's filthy, disgusting, filthy, unclean to work. And I think that we can be as thrifty as possible. We should be and will be, but we also need to replace what we did in cabin 7 was great. And Kathy saved a ton of money in some areas that I'm unable to repeat in cabin 8. So the remodel budget for cabin 8 is about as what it was for cabin 7, because I in fact have to pay for all the cabinets. The cabinets are like $3,900 and worth every penny of it. But you know, it's like we got a great deal on it at cost of materials. And so now we, you know, Scott can't keep doing that. And honestly, we can't keep looking for you to do stuff for free. Let's pay for something. Let's get it fixed up right, and then let's put on the maintenance schedule and take care of it.
If you get a bid for the cabinets, get Scott up and see if he'd be willing to do it for that.
Yeah, we did a bid for me.
Okay. You did talk to him. Okay, because he told me that he would consider, but he'd have to be paid for. He couldn't do it all free time.
Yeah, and $3,900. Okay. That's a cool set of kitchen cabinets with an island and the bathroom cabinet. And Joe, it sounds like you have some thoughts on that.
Well, no, I agree. What's been done in 7 is phenomenal, but what the Collins put in cabin 3, yeah, probably the last 15, 25 years with no trouble.
Good. And that's somewhere, and that's where...
$4,000.
No. Yeah. So, you know, we need to upgrade, but we don't need to go quite that far on all the cabins. There's just, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, those were just from Lowe's or Home
Depot? They were from Lowe's, yeah.
And we don't know Utah, so we go back to California. We had a cabinet company in Chino that we could go get them from there. They're better quality, they're wood, a little bit more money than Lowe's ones. But there would be less than
people. And we can look at the Lowe's. I haven't looked at Lowe's cabinets or Home Depot cabinets. I did briefly look at the boxes, what the boxes cost. And that's the direction that we can go to. So I'm not stuck on any number on that countertops. In fact, I wanted to get with you guys. You know, I don't have... the benches and everything that I need to build concrete countertops, but you know, the Chinese granite countertops are, you know, you buy them, you basically buy those first and you fit your cabinets to those and your remodel to those, or you cut them and polish the edges.
Well, I have a granite guy back in California that I was talking to about cabin 3 and my own place when we did it, and he said he's more than happy to come out. But
yeah,
it's a day, out, yeah, and a day back. So if we could, if there was a way to make it worth our while,
yeah,
to bring him out for a week and do counters, well, boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
boom.
And I got a fellow, Jack Davis in Camp Verde, that he does granite. He would probably do it for cost. I mean, he has completely automated granite systems. So you just put a slab, you cut it, and you select your bull nosing or whatever nosing you want on it, and it goes through and does all the polishing. Yeah,
See, my guy is, he's just a phenom when it comes to the prefab stuff.
Yeah.
Making the prefab fit what you have.
Right.
So
somewhere in there is a direction to go on the countertops. And, I refabricated the one for 7 for the bathroom. And that turned out fine, and I have the tools. I can do that kind of stuff. I can polish the edges of granite and do whatever. I don't have the big saws for cutting and doing the chiseled edges and all of that.
Well, I think your point is we need to put some money into taking care of cabins and bringing them up to a manageable and sustainable point, which they're long overdue, and so.
Yeah.
We're gonna have to figure out how to fit it into the budget we've got, but it needs to be an area of focus rather than just forgetting about it and crossing our fingers.
Now, well, one of the things I want to talk to Joe about was the mouse proofing. You know, if we jumped ahead and got all the mouse proofing done as soon as possible, that's going to stop a lot of the damage to the cabins, don't you think, Joe?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So let's get the mouse proofing done so then we're not under the gun. Because if we get to year 10 and cabin 9 falls off the hill, then, you know, we can prevent that.
So you're saying that to jump ahead and spend money... Mouse-proof 8, mouse-proof 9, mouse-proof 6, mouse-proof.
And where you can insulate the floor, get the insulation done, just get that done, all the cabins, and get them to where we're not worried about this, and then we can start working on other things on the cabins.
What I was saying is getting the priority list from you as to what you see necessary, but coordinate that with the other list that was created last year when the man came through and did the safety recall.
See, I haven't seen any of that stuff.
Okay,
so
probably
need to see.
Remind me, I can get you the inspection reports for each of the cabins.
And so what Joe did to see if there was something that we could actually get done that were priorities, like fireplaces for one, the seals are all gone, and holes and this and that. Try to coordinate those two lists, because we're working, I know Kathy's working, and I know you're working, what can we put together, what needs to be done?
Yeah.
And again, sometimes people volunteer material. And it's like, yeah, that'll really work.
Right.
Because I need it for this and this. But we have to help you coordinate with what we
right.
have and what we're willing time-wise to do.
Right.
So we want to do that, but like I said, those safety issues
need to be addressed.
Need to be addressed. And
right.
they're probably part of what you're talking about in a number of those as well.
Yeah, and I appreciate you bringing that up because
yeah.
I forgot that we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd really like to take a look at that because, you know, we can all get together and, you know, we're going to put a committee together, which you are definitely going to be on. So it'll be the four of us. Who else did we say?
I don't know. I'm a spell committee.
Brent needs to be on it.
Right.
I'll take notes for you.
Oh, yeah, take notes for you. No, you have a lot of great thoughts. So I definitely want, and if that's all I'm asking.
Well, to me, mouse proofing is really not as difficult as it should be because I did my cabin, and it's been
right.
almost 9 years now, and I've never had one in the cabin. Now I don't even get them under the cabin anymore.
Well, that's
so
why
can be
that's
done.
Why I put you on the committee so that
it can be done.
We can make sure that you're overseeing how things are getting done, and it's I think everybody's got a little bit of confusion.
I actually did with Emily Anderson. We actually did cabin number
two,
and it worked for a while. But they found a way to get in,
uh-huh.
and Phil was supposed to go fix that one little spot, and never did. So now they're back in,
no.
but 98% of it's already done. We just got to fix that one little spot.
That's cabin two.
Cabin two.
Okay.
I was going to show you.
The good bad part is it's under the deck, and you have to lose weight. To get underneath there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to hire a skinny little guy.
Yeah.
Anybody got any kids that want to
run? Yeah, right.
I'm not that skinny.
I'm not better.
I'm too long. I've done stuff under
he's
buildings.
Great for sewer because you can grab him by the ankle.
Well, I would take on doing something and I would go crawling under the building and figure out, I can't, like, I just can't bend like that.
Yeah.
So then I would send her in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Tina.
Because I can't do
problem solved. Tina's our mouser.
Wearing a hazmat suit and slide her under, huh?
Yeah.
That's what we used to do, just wrap her in Tyvek and under you go, baby.
Well, it sounds like you're working on I think it's important to work on a priorities list that just says here's what we want to attack first so that we can get volunteers and provide materials and just
right.
have it scheduled and work together.
And that's what's been my beginning is just trying to get an overview and trying to get my head around everything and be able to move forward in the most effective way possible. And Monday I'm going to start tearing it up. I have a plan that'll get in a couple of weeks and get a lot done around the headquarters. And cabin 7, I got some railing work I need to finish and another small deck, which I think I got all the material I need for. So
good.
Yeah, so that's about where I'm at and what I'm about. Regarding my schedule, being a contractor, I guess we're on skinny grounds for me to be scheduled by the ranch.
We give you tasks, but you have to figure out when and how
yeah.
you're going to do it.
So Sundays, basically, just so everybody knows, Sundays are my day off, and that's all I really, I don't foresee ever needing more than, if I need an extra day off here and there, I'll take it. But I'm living the ranch. I am putting everything, all of myself into it, and you know, I'll take a half day here to go ride my horse or something, but you know, I'm pretty much I love it there. I love what I think everybody wants to do, and I'm really glad to be a part of it. And,
I think you're doing
very,
a good
very
job.
Happy.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, were you gonna still do a? You said something about sending out a report every Sunday.
Actually, I'm gonna do it on Saturdays. I'm gonna do like a weekend review. And it'll be on Saturdays, and I'll send out an email instead of. You know, we had Phil counting for every day, which is...
That was required by workers' comp.
Yeah.
Just so you know where that came
oh,
from.
Oh, okay. So, but I do feel like I want to keep you guys informed on where we're going. So, you know, I'll do like a week in review and tell you what happened during the week and go from there. You know, needs I need for volunteers the following week or something, I mean, I'll be... contacting people as on an individual basis, but in general, I would like to report a progress report of what we're doing, where we've been, what challenges I ran into, what I feel like we succeeded in, and just kind of just keep everybody informed.
One other thing I need introductory write up to go in the next newsletter. I don't know when we're planning on sending out the next one, but we need to. I've been hired as art. My company's been hired as property management. This is me, and this is my background, or whatever you want the membership to know about you.
Okay.
And we'll put a picture.
Don't worry, I'm sending up.
All right. Any questions for Kurt?
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
Just going right back to that AP voucher really quick. I really like that we have the opportunity to break down further on here, and I think this is what your idea is, that not only will we know what it was going to, so for example, on cabins or on fencing, that's still pretty broad. So yeah. I like how you have identified on here, on this one you handed me, that this is going to be for a workbench in the tool shed.
And if you want to get into GL codes, they're on the spreadsheets. And I'll share those spreadsheets with everybody. I'd like everybody to use the same spreadsheet. You'll see it's extremely effective and adaptable to any instance that you need. But, I lost my thought.
No, you're okay. We're talking about the specifics of where things
okay,
go.
Okay, so there, if you have a GL code, then you actually have, GL is a general ledger. Okay, everything is in accounting is numerically organized. So 542010 is for faucets, fixtures, and whatever, FF&E. That's your GL code for that. So you have GL codes for each line item that's on there, which is really getting into specifics. But there would be a place on there for a GL code, and you would assign that receipt or invoice to a GL code. We don't have that.
Yeah.
So we probably need to work on explanations more of what something is for.
Yes, I like that, especially more specifics. Because I know a lot of time, like when Joe and I are talking about stuff, he'll say, okay, so for cabins and fencing, for example, he'll say, okay, so where is that fencing material going? What part of the ranch is that going on?
Right.
Or Mariah, tell me where's that faucet? Is it in the bathroom or is it in the kitchen? Have we replaced that one before? So now I will know better. Cabin 3, yeah. Kitchen faucet.
And now what's great is, yeah, you're going to have a history that you're going to be able to go back and you're going to be able to look through.
Exactly.
You know exactly what was done, when it was done. And, yeah, it's self-explanatory. That's the system that I wanted to introduce. On top of systems, you have projects. And when you add projects to systems, that means you work within that system to do that project. And so it's
fencing materials, well field.
Yeah,
something like that.
Specifically, you know, with the cattle lease, and Brad being on the board, and I'm not talking. I don't want to go into anything much without Brad because he needs to hear what I have to say. It just needs more transparency because we are dealing with what we're leasing out the land and what his responsibilities are and what the ranch's responsibilities are, pretty well defined in the contract. And we need to make sure that we know that monies are being spent within that contract. And we're not paying back the $12,000 in fencing and other stuff that cattle needs.
I have a suggestion as far as for in the future. There are so many people up there now with radios.
Mm-hmm.
And the communications going back and forth gets out of hand sometimes. I think we ought to come up with a letter in our newsletter stating, quote unquote, if somebody yells code 911, everybody shut up. One person's talking, whoever calls. Because sometimes people are talking, you can't interrupt it. The radio's back and forth so close, you can't even cut in because someone's already speaking over you. But we need some kind of a code for an emergency in case somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, and most, with the ranch, it's a little different because you can't really call the person on the cell phone.
No. It's got to be radio.
It can be radio, Hidden Meadow Ranch, ZMR. We did, the radio rule is pretty much radio silence. And if you had Wranglers out on a ride at Hidden Meadow Ranch, for example, you had long range radios, and those were priority, and those were the calls that people look for. Chitter chatter, there's no room for chitter chatter, but you have to communicate when somebody's up on the radio tower trying to do something down here. you know, you have to do it. But
that's what I mean, right now, if someone says, you know, keep the women folk off the radio, it's kind of a joke, and everybody gets a laugh at it, but we actually need a code that says there is an emergency. Maybe we can call it 911, or we can call it whatever we want, but we need some kind of code so that when we speak it, everybody pays attention. And if somebody could be hurt, there could be a fire, and there's not a lot of time to waste when you got dirt roads that slow you down.
Yeah.
Correct. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, who are we going to get to do that?
I think we can put something in the newsletter. Help me to remember to put something in there. But Joe, the next annual meeting, would you mind taking 10 minutes and talk about radio etiquette?
Sure.
For the membership? I think you can explain it, and you've been there long enough that let's discuss it between now and then exactly what the code is and what we want to use, but I think that's perfectly reasonable to take a few minutes at the annual meeting when we have the biggest audience to listen and figure it out. So,
one more really quick thing. On the AP vouchers, you had just mentioned how often would I like to see them. I would just recommend I'd like to see them maybe by the 15th and by the 30th or by the 1st or something, just because then if there's receipts in there, I can reimburse at mid-month and I can reimburse at the end of the month.
Is that okay with you, Joe? Yeah. Okay, so I will. Do you want me to give you a separate copy of stuff, or do you want to work with Mariah? How do you want to do that?
I'll work with Mariah.
Okay, and we'll be working together. And anything that I have on the spreadsheets is totally open. Anybody can get on my computer and take a look. No problem with that.
That was perfect.
Perfect. Any other comments on Kurt's presentation? Any questions?
It's exciting. Personally, I like the organization. I really do.
Kathy, what I'm trying to do is have a lunch break before we get started on the budget. You want to take care of your number 8 and might as well discuss anything that you have to do with number 10 as well. And do all everything you want to talk about. Time is yours.
All right. You said something. I got it. Okay. The volunteer program, when we changed things a little bit with the volunteer program, my whole thing coming in was trying to get members to take ownership of the cabins. And when we changed things on the new cabins, or not the new cabins, but the cabins, the change where we weren't doing, you know, the reservation fees, and it was going to be $25 per night. It kicked this program that we had put out there, where they were going to pay for a reservation fee and pay for play for the unit for the members that were coming to stay in the cabins that did not volunteer time. So it was at least taking care of their, you know, soaps and the linen and all of that. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't coming out of pocket by the board to have people come and stay. Well, now when we put this new program into place, we were paying the same thing as any member that was just going to rent the cabins. And we just thought, I can't take this away from them. We've worked too hard. Even though we had a few people that were regulars, and there was a few people that came on and just put a few hours in, the whole thing behind that is trying to get them to take ownership and come and volunteer their time. So Mariah and I visited, and we put a program together. We got all of the hours that was donated in 2019. And did you? Collins have been increased. Did you get that email?
Yeah, they're increased on here. I've got them volunteer hours at 39 apiece.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess that's not right. Yeah. So anyway,
or I can adjust it.
No, you did. I saw 7 and it was 17.
Oh, 17.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so anyway, we've got all of the people that have donated and volunteered times. Some of the cabin times they've already used, some they have not, but it also gives them, Mariah did a breakdown. We kind of talked the best way to do this, that the person that has volunteered their time gets free cabin time. People that they bring in to work, we'll have to pay the pay-for-play, so it's $2 per person. And then they need to put some kind of deposit down, so we said $50 deposit, so we could make sure that either they follow through. If they don't, they're taking up that cabin time for somebody else to rent, they would lose their deposit. So, and if they are under that $50, then that would be reimbursed. So, anyway, that's kind of what we've done on the program. So we've done a breakdown, and we've also put in there that it was, the cabin time had to be used before October
16th.
October 16th. So we are going to send vouchers out to everybody that's got their cabin time and put in there. And Mariah, you take it from there, because they're going to take it and send it to you, correct?
So the idea is that, the idea is that they will receive these guidelines that kind of tell them what they can use, that they've got an expiration date, and then they will have to let me know when they make their reservation that they're planning to use this program for their reservation, and we'll set that up at the time of the reservation.
Yeah.
So the $50 deposit would be
reimbursed.
Refundable.
See, you both have volunteered time, so we take you, and you'd reserve a cabin. He would pay the $2 per person, and then when you're done, you'd use his, or vice versa, however you want to do it. But you're taking one cabin time. That person that worked those hours and is using those hours would get free time. Anybody age three and above would be paying that $2 per day. So it's taking care of their you know, the usage, whatever they're using there in the cabin.
Exactly.
So anyway, we didn't want to be taking advantage of the members and that are putting money out there, but you know, we want to make sure that it's all.
But if,
being worked
out. But if there's an expiration date, you're not worried about people reserving it and just not using it?
That's the $50.
That's what if they've got 30 days. If they've got to cancel, they have to do it within that 30 days. So it's the same program as what everybody else is on, but it's a $50. And if somebody comes in and they only use, let's say, $30 of that $50, they get the $20 refund.
No, I know. I'm saying, what if you don't use it at all? So let's say I reserved it. Let's say I reserved it for $50, but we didn't even go in there. Because I'm going to lose my time anyway, so I may as well reserve a cabin.
And your $50 is gone.
Well, that's what they're trying to
do. No, my $50 is refundable.
No. Well,
it's refundable.
Why would you reserve it and not use it?
That's if you don't use the cabin, it's not refundable. Because we could have brought revenue in. If you hadn't reserved it, we could have brought some revenue in.
Right. I can understand what he's talking about. Because, I mean, every year in timeshares I have, then the points are going to expire. So I'll say, well, there's some chance that I'm going to go to Lake Tahoe and I'll reserve a week because I'm going to lose it anyway. It doesn't cost me anything. So, and half the time, honestly, the Lake Tahoe place sits there empty because I don't go, just because I thought, well, there's a chance, and I'm going to lose these points anyway. So to address that, we could do one of two things. We could, I don't know how the rest of the board feels. I don't mind extending the expiration date a little bit. I mean, we've kind of changed things a little bit.
Yeah.
We want everybody to have an opportunity to get in.
I think we're
going to
have a hard time getting everybody to use their time by the 16th of October.
What I'm saying is maybe we extend that for an additional 6 months, because we want people that have contributed their time and been involved to have at least the opportunity to benefit from it.
That being said, 6 months, you're going to go through the winter months that's going to be closed.
Well,
we've got to make it workable, though. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
what do you think, Mariah?
Think that it would be less competitive with the revenue that's coming into the ranch to extend it.
I agree.
By a year. So you got to October 16th.
You've got some people that have got, like Scott, he's got most hours than anybody, and he did not count his time. Some of that was paid, but his time by putting the cabinets together, working here in St. George, and neither myself, by going and picking up and doing all the stuff.
Well, how many cabinets do you have?
199, I believe, and he has 200 and something
cabin
nights. Cabin nights. I will never use them up in a year.
Yeah.
And neither will Scott.
But what's going to happen, though, is if you push everybody into using them all up this season, how many cabin nights are available, and we're just not going to have any revenue because we're going to be
so paying exactly.
If we can do this, just to shorten the discussion, I think that we make the date 2021 instead of 2020. That gives everybody an opportunity, and as we get closer, we can look at it. The idea is we want people to use the cabins. We don't want it to feel. We don't want people that have donated labor to feel taken advantage of. And I think that gives that addresses, and for the most part, the concern.
Okay, so how should we address it?
So add one year.
Okay.
So instead of 2020, we'll make it 2021. Is okay. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Already done.
I've already sent the email. Like, people are calling me right now, and I'm making reservations.
It's like magic. And then something that I'd like to work on with Kathy and our little committee in the future is when we have volunteers. So we can just kind of think ahead. This is something we could need to noodle out this winter. Let's try to work on a different reward.
Okay, we've got a different reward.
19 hours?
For 2020 that I need to go over. And you have the... I'm going to let you take this one because you said
ahead.
2020 is going to be totally different.
So because that is the concern. I agree 100% with you. My concern is our number two revenue is cabin reservations. And if we start giving that away, I mean, if we're looking at 375 nights total right now, that's two cabins worth for a whole year. That would be taking them out every single night they're available for a whole year. And that's going to hurt. Yeah. So I agree we need a different program. And so we started talking about it, Joe and Kathy and I started talking about that. What would we do as an alternative? So because we're already offering vouchers, and by the way, just going back, something Kathy didn't mention, we drew up a letter together that we will send out to everyone reporting how many hours we have for them, reporting all of these...
It's kind of
details of their voucher so that they understand all the parameters with which that is going to take place, their volunteer time. Okay, so the second idea was we need something different. We can't just give away our revenue as part of this volunteer program, although we do want our members to feel that it is worthwhile to invest in some volunteer time. So that's the objective of this other program that Kathy asked me to present. And what it is it would require a service contract. So it is going to require that I do some extra work. It may require whoever project manager is do some extra work to be tracking, just like Kathy did with these hours. It's going to be creating gift certificates, for lack of a better word, that will be given out. And they will be these opportunities will be redeemed in a tiered program that offer other options other than just cabin time. So, for example, tier one could be that volunteers must give a collective minimum of 16 hours of service or donate goods in the value of up to $250 in 1 year, and they're applicable for these options. I know that we're going to be talking about having barbecue dinners. We would perhaps buy two adult barbecue dinner tickets from our property manager and give them those certificates wherein they're responsible to redeem those at their own time. Same with the country store. We would buy the $25 from the property manager, and they would collect on those. However, we can offer a refund or a waiver of water fees up to $25, or we can give one night cabin stay, but it would still fall under the 3-night cabin stay requirement. So they wouldn't be able to just book one night and then they would have to stay the minimum three. Give them one night three. The second tier moves up a little bit to 60 hours of service or $500, and you can see there's several other options there. Can you read those yet back there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's one or the other?
So tier one offers you a baseline. Once you can come to tier two, you can choose between tier one and tier two. You can have a couple of tier ones or one of tier two. And then moving on from there is our option three, which is very simple, and that's pretty much you can choose any three options in tier one or two. So this does require some extra tracking work. It does require a contract. Kathy and I just put together a quick, and Joe put together a quick idea of what that contract might need to look like so that it's ease of tracking. Of course, property manager we'd rely on. or a project manager.
Don't they have to keep track of their hours? It's not that you're keeping track of their hours from. They can't call you and say, "So what do I have? Are you going to keep track of their hours for them?"
I would like to do as minimal of that as possible, but I would also hope that people would be honest.
Well, I think that they need to have some kind of voucher and say, "Okay, you've calculated this much. What would you like to do?" Send them a voucher, and they have to provide that voucher to you. That way, you're not having to do all this work. I mean, extra work, because it is. The whole thing is we made a promise on cabin 7, and so we kind of set precedence on that. But we do want to try to get the members to be more involved and take ownership of the ranch. That means let's fix these cabins up. Let's take care of these roads. Let's, do wheelies and spins and stuff like that, ripping the roads up. Let's take ownership. And I think once they start donating more of their time, they're going to be owners. They're going to act like owners, not just like a renter. And that's what my input is.
I've listened to all this, and I've been a land lot owner for so many years. I think somehow you guys have forgotten, what does volunteer mean? What does donate mean? I see 100 hours you put in. Oh my gosh, if I put myself up there and Joe does, you're not in the business. We do it to volunteer. My kids donate every year. You know all the shirts, all the money. Mm-hmm. They don't want anything. They donate because they love the ranch. So I think somehow this is getting way off track.
Candy, I know you and Joe. There's a few members out there that donate all their time. Wouldn't you like to see more people get involved? And that's what we're trying to do.
Well,
there's a way
of getting people involved rather than promising all this other stuff. Volunteer means volunteer. I'm not looking for something. And number two, donate. I don't expect anything in replace for what I donated. Maybe I don't need it anymore. I think maybe the ranch needs it. That's all I'm getting at. I'm hearing, whoa, all of this time and all of this. Did you volunteer? Did you donate? Did you already get something in response to what you did? I mean, the Collins have been absolutely fantastic. But they wanted something too, and they got something. They got that gravel. It's like, we do for you, it's a pat me on the back, and I'll pat you on the back. It's a wonderful program. But I'm just wondering, 5 hours, 3 hours you donated, you donated.
Well, in lieu of that, and this is just a thought, what if we made the volunteer, made it a better experience, volunteering a better experience being here instead of coming up, going to work, and going home? Maybe if, we did the chicken fried steaks for breakfast and got together and had breakfast and coffee, or don't drink coffee, whatever. Got together and just talked about the day, and everybody goes out and we all know what we're doing. We've already got a little camaraderie going on there. We'll put a dinner at the end of the thing. We'll have dinner together.
Yes,
something like that. Make it a funner experience.
Well, there's two things. We've got the people that were involved in Cabin 7 that we need to follow through on what we agree, and we changed the program through the process, just through the natural course of changing. So I think for today we need to vote to approve what they proposed as far as what's been done. I think as far as future volunteer work, I agree with everybody that's talked to some extent, and that is, you're right, Candy. A lot of people, and I'm guessing that a lot of people even on that list are going to never use their certificate or whatever. I agree that to a certain extent we all need to and should be willing to volunteer. At the same time, volunteering should be fun, and for those that significantly volunteer, then there should be some incentive to get them going on bigger projects. If it's, hey, we have the girls camp out there and we're going to go paint the welcome post and those kind of things, that's donation work. And so we need to find a middle ground. I just think we need to discuss it a little bit further to decide on what we do in the future and what kind of a hybrid we do. I agree that the volunteer experience should build camaraderie and have something. And with me, something always means food of some kind.
Yeah, I'm in favor of, obviously, without a shadow of a doubt, honoring whatever commitments we made. That's a done, guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
That's why I suggested, what do they call those cards you get?
Certificate.
You know, because we can't tie up all the cabins with volunteer time. Let's give them a $50 dinner at the Outback Steakhouse instead. That's why I suggested that, because... And whoever put 19 hours on Brent Fulmer, he's got more time helping me weld than 19 hours.
You know what?
Not even counting the cameras.
And he would not tell me. Yeah. So I had to put down that I knew he worked with me.
He's got 1,900 hours.
I know he does.
But going off of what Candy said, volunteering or donating time is one thing. But giving weeks of time, or your time, or even Brent Fulmer's kind of time, that's over and above volunteering.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Volunteering is a couple hours here or there.
And Brent Fulmer does. He does a lot of hours, and we usually give him a bonus at the end of the year. Not that he asked for, because he doesn't. He doesn't.
And we've actually given him checks, and he won't sign them. He brings them back.
He does.
Yeah, Brent enjoys, it's like camaraderie spirit here. He enjoys what he's doing. It's got plenty of diversity. He keeps him young. And, you know, the only person allowed to waste his time is him. That's all he has. Don't waste my time.
He lives up there.
Yeah.
He's got time to do that. There's people that live, you know, miles and miles away, and they're pulling up and going, you know, when I come out here and I want to use my time on my place or in the cabins and go play. I don't want to volunteer. So I'm just thinking something to boost a little bit more time from people.
Right. I totally agree with that.
Bozés, you know, Brent Fulmer, there's a bunch of people. John Harris, there's a bunch of people that do.
But we've got to start bringing on the minimum. Like a minimum of 8 hours. If you work less than 8 hours, you won't get nothing. It's just volunteer work.
Tier 1 is minimum of 16. Yeah, you're right. We do need that.
And it's good to have something in a process here, and I understand that. But I just think it kind of got way out of context this time.
I think that we need to deal with, like, okay, so volunteer time is volunteer time. Let's all get together and have breakfast or dinner or something, and let's make an event. The key thing to me about when you have volunteers is organization. You got to have a plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you get up to another level of people, you know, putting in 90 hours in a month to volunteer, well, then that's something that should happen.
So I'm in favor with the conference. Didn't take anybody else. It didn't affect anybody in the ranch. They volunteered their time. We volunteered to gravel. It didn't affect any cabin time whatsoever. That, to me, was a done good deal.
I love the pay-as-you-go thing.
I do, too.
You know, if you got the camaraderie thing, you got everybody working together, then it's paid for the next day.
Does anybody have any ideas on how do you extract from people volunteer time for nothing, or they assume it's for nothing, and then just send them a certificate that says, hey, you know what? Here's a week of cabin time on us.
I think there comes a point where you realize your membership, too. You realize who you have. And when you start to see, like Kathy said, how far away they are and what their points are going to be, when we look at the survey a little bit, you know, what's the cabin usage going to be? How many people want to come for the winter? I think that says a lot. And you break that down, like you were telling me on the cab on a hotel break-even points, you know, 56% is the hoped-for amount of cabin rooms.
Between season and off-season.
Right. So if we look at our membership, how many are going to come motivated to do something for something? How many are going to come just to play? How many are not even going to come to the ranch? And that's a big majority. That is a big majority who don't come to the ranch. So that plays into the incentive program thought, too.
Let me suggest this.
Hey guys, this is Hey guys, can you hear me? This is Mike McNichol.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to make a comment, if I may. And I wasn't on right at the very beginning, so I must have been a couple of minutes late. But my wife and I, Sue, you know, we donated, because I do keep track, we donated 136 hours to Cabin 7 this past year. And I think it was Candy who said that, you know, I mean, volunteering is volunteering. And that's my attitude as well. I mean, I don't expect to get, you know, paid or compensated for every hour. At the same time, I live in Henderson, Nevada, and every time I went up for a volunteer weekend, it actually cost me money, you know, gas for my vehicle. And I, you know, my opinion is, you know, just doing something nice as a thank you is really all that most of the membership is going to expect. And for me, I mean, something as simple as getting a couple of those really nice mugs, you know, with DSR on the side of it, you know, would be really cool. Or even getting a free shirt, or, you know, just maybe there's even a, you know, some special something that only volunteers get. But my attitude is, you know, volunteering is volunteering. And if you get a nice little something of a thank you, that's great. But I don't think members should expect that.
Well, I just make a certain t-shirt that says the ranch posse and only those that volunteer excessive 25 hours.
Ranch volunteer.
Get part of the posse.
No.
All right. Well, let's do this. I'm going to call for a vote on approving the 2019 certificates or whatever. I don't know how you want, you know, the program. 2019 program that's been proposed, because we need to take care of that. Honor. We'll see how many members that have donated take advantage of it or don't. I mean, bottom line is, we appreciate the work that's been done, and it was huge in getting Cabin 7 done on a shoestring budget. So, anybody want to make a motion that we approve that?
Can I make a comment first?
Yeah, Joe or John, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Walking okay, I've been that, sitting so here listening, and when Candy said what she said, I was just sitting here basically saying that to my wife. I think volunteering is volunteering, and you know, I understand Kathy was talking about, you know, people taking ownership. Well, ownership, we all were owners of this place out here, all equally per lot. And I think we ought to treat it like it's our own property, because it is. And I agree with Nicholson there, and Kathy, the volunteer, or not Kathy, but Candy, the volunteer is volunteering, and that's the way it should be treated. And I don't think that we should be giving away of all of our funds in this. I think a nice little reward that Mr. Nicholson just said would be a great idea, because there's a lot of people donate time out there over the years, tons and tons of times, and never ask for anything. And I don't believe in bribing them to come. But, I don't want to say what I'm really thinking, because it'll be taken wrong. So I'll let it go with that.
How about if we had an annual volunteer banquet?
Well, I'm glad you and Sunshine are talking. That's good.
That's
a good idea. I like that.
Well, I'm cheap.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Well, that's what we're trying to do is bring 2020 and getting input. We can't take away 2019, and that's what, you know, Mariah and I had kind of put together, but we are wanting more input. So
yeah, well,
way to approach this by
what we promised already, that's a promise. Whatever we promised already, that's a promise. And we can't back out on that.
Right.
Moving forward, we need to think about how we're going to handle this. Yes, I would love for volunteers to come. There's a lot of things to be done. There's some things that we might ask volunteers for that they're not capable of doing a good trade. But there are many other things that we can could be done out there that trimming trees, for instance. If you go down the road to Metal Canyon there, the trees are coming over so much now that people that bring a high vehicle, they get hit. But they're pulling a camper that's got a cooler air conditioner or something on top and tears off parts of that. I've seen that happen. There, we could use some volunteers for stuff like that. But some of cabinet work and what have you, Scott was good at that. The countertops there, Kurt was good at that. Okay, you're getting my guess.
Yeah, but thanks, John. Let's go ahead and I make a motion that we approve the program for 2019 that's been outlined. We'll discuss 2020 a little more as we move forward. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so move forward in 2019 how you've outlined. Let's get that taken care of. And then we'll discuss 2020 moving forward. I appreciate the time that you guys have put into it. Like I said, everybody's right all at the same time. We just have to figure out what works for the ranch. Do you need power?
But in a minute. We're okay. Sorry, okay. I didn't mean to be distracting.
All right. With that being said, we're waiting for forks and to eat. So let's see. Can we tackle winter use discussion in 10 minutes or less?
I think we should.
Okay.
We went ahead and sent, Mariah sent out a membership
questionnaire.
And she got it back, and go ahead, Mariah, with that, because
okay.
I want to follow up.
This was really fun. I'd never done a survey like this before, but I thought it was highly useful. So we had 51 responses back. I requested that they send their email so I could verify that they were all members of the ranch, and they were. So if when you take a look at this chart, let me see. I don't know how to make this one bigger.
You say 51 responses?
51 responses. They were sent out to each individual member.
Do you have a number of how many emails that you sent it to?
Yes, so I'll have to go off the top of my head. I would say there's probably only about, let's say, 6 that I don't have email addresses for. So the rest of the membership would have received it.
So
everybody else should have received it. Good. So, yeah. And those 6, at least 3 of them are, we don't do email. So, anyway. Okay, so what we're looking at here, first question that was posed, how likely are you to reserve cabin 7 and or 8 for Thanksgiving, Christmas, or New Year's? Number 1, this bar where it says 20 of them, 39.2%. That is not likely. On the other end, where number 5 is, this one here. I could choose my mouse, you can see.
I don't see your finger up there.
I know, right? Is that in the right spot? Anyway, number 5 is highly likely.
Seven responses.
So 13% said, and here's how I read this. I would read this to say, from the top working backwards, from number 5, I would say 4 and 5 are probably people who would probably pretty much consider coming out. When you get to 3, those are the maybes. 2 and 1 are going to be that we're probably not going to make it. We might have a little interest, but we're probably not going to come. That's how I would read it. So I would say that we've got, what, roughly 15 and 13. So my math is really bad. 28% are saying that they are likely to come out, and 39% of those who wrote back are not
so
likely in coming out.
51.
That's why you're here. You do the math. I'll tell you the numbers. You keep going. Okay. Then the next one. How likely do you reserve garden cabin for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and or New Year's? So garden cabin went way down. Those who were interested in using the garden cabin during those holidays. We're talking an average of 12% as opposed to 56, 70.
Now, the first question was just kind of blanket in general.
Yes.
That wasn't
in
specific
general.
Cabin. That was just...
No, 7 and 8.
Oh, that was 7 and 8.
It was specific to 7 and 8.
Okay.
Now,
then we did
said
garden
no
cabin.
On garden cabin just mainly because of the size.
Yes. And we've got a lot of comments similar
why,
to that.
Why
I did
was
ask
garden cabin not selected so much?
Oh,
size.
there's several comments, and I'll go through those, and maybe those will help divulge what those answers were. Okay, then how likely are you to reserve cabins 7 and 8 in the month of January or February? Again, we've got 18% that are saying, yeah, we probably would, and 51, if you add 51 and 15, we're talking about the majority are saying, no, we wouldn't use the cabins in January and February. How likely are you to reserve cabin 7 and or 8 in the month of March or early April? Now, we open the lower cabins mid-April every year, somewhere about the third week, depending on the weather. So this would be just prior to them opening. And as you can see, more people are interested at that point in coming out to the ranch, maybe a little bit earlier. But we're also talking about thaw season now. So we're talking about mud season. So this is not, I don't see this as a valuable time to be reserving the cab, or at least with a lot of.
But how cool would that be to see like 47 people stuck on the scooter park?
Stay in the trap. Okay, so
Ramsey Toe would like it.
Yeah.
Here are some of the comments that we received. They're brief, so we'll just run through them. I love the ranch in winter. Cabin 8 is very pleasant. I send a test. That's me. No comments. My biggest concern is making a reservation and having the weather such that I can't get in or out in the winter or early spring. We have spent time in the cabins during the winter and hope that we can continue to do so. I love to go up and enjoy the cabins in the winter. If the roads are impassable, I would not go up Meadow Canyon and tear them up. If they are snow-covered, I would enjoy snowmobiling. I'm not a winter person. However, I think they should be open for those who enjoy it. That's why we pay dues for what we pay dues for. Question on the cost per over benefit analysis. We wouldn't likely rent the garden cabin strictly due to the size of the cabin. Maintaining intermittent occupancy in the cabins during the coldest months would seem to carry the risk of water pipe freeze and damage during unoccupied weeks. Taking reservations for units where accessibility is a real issue could cause problems. If the cabins cannot be accessed at the time of rental, is that a DSROA problem or a user vehicle problem? I feel that with seeing all the pictures put on Facebook shows that their interest is showing that they want to take good care of them all. If any member wishes to spend time and money, I think it is a great idea to help the budget. Thanksgiving and early spring, rather March, are great times to be at DSR weather permitting. Would love have Thanksgiving there sometime and thought about it for 2019, but don't think they were available. Warm months only for us. We have our own cabin, so we never use 7 or 8. Too cold. We stayed in the garden cabin for Thanksgiving. It was so dusty and so cold, we'll never do it again. We did have cabin 8 reserved for Thanksgiving this year, but the weather prevented us from coming. We live in Salt Lake. That's true. They did cancel. At this time constraints with work prevent us from the winter months. Having considered this for Thanksgiving or Christmas, I find the idea very intriguing. We have yet to book and stay in the cabins yet, as we are new owners in the last 2 years, but we have been meaning to try them out. Think they're a great asset and benefit to being an owner. We understand the amount of effort and cost that goes into maintaining and upgrading them and appreciate the combined efforts of everyone pitching in. We also hope to be able to help those with the efforts of future, if our schedule allows and if needed. Thank you. If these are available, I would make plans to take advantage of them. It's been a few years since we've used the cabins. Too many other owners are disgusting pigs. One's own messes are more tolerable than someone else's. I should have read through these just in case. I haven't read all these, so. I have never used cabins summer or winter. It's worth a try for the next winter season, then evaluate the reservations and revisit the decision. Road conditions are a big factor, so it would be helpful if there was a way to predict or report road conditions from the end of the pavement to the ranch. Enough firewood and the cabins are just fine. Never miss an opportunity to stay there. Half the time DSR and Lake Powell is my destination, and half the time I just happen to be in the area. With family and friends on both coasts, I can never tell what might bring me out there. We tried in the past to schedule garden cabin for Thanksgiving, but were told the ranch hand had a standing reservation for them. We have consequently opted to have Thanksgiving at another venue. Only use the cabins in the fall months, but thanks for asking. I love the ranch. Thanksgiving is when we usually try and go, not the other two. I believe there should be an option for winter rentals. So, in short, there's a summary of their comments.
Right. Okay. Well, now, that being said, I do want to bring up, I have talked to Curve. I think we can still make this work on winter usage. And that is our weekly report with Curve. And if the weather permitting, if there's snow on the ground but it's not muddy, that maybe people want to go snowmobile riding. If they're muddy and the roads are hectic, that Kurt give us our weekly report and the following 10-day report and review it and say, okay, it looks like the cabins are available and, you know, enter at your own risk. But that way we're trying our best not to tear up the roads. I understand what John's and Joe's saying is I don't want to see the roads tore up, but there's been promises made to the owners that they were going to be able to use the cabins in the winter. Mm-hmm. I think we need to shut down any possibility of the problems, but I thoroughly enjoyed it and taking the snowmobiles and going play. So if there's snow that's been plowed by the county, you know, let us go play. If it's muddy, say no. I mean,
my question is, how do we do that where people have to plan ahead, where we're saying the week before, no,
winter months are going to have to be week by week. That's all we can do.
It's going to be something. I mean, winter time is over and over in the comments. It's like, depending on the roads, we have to cancel, we couldn't get in. You know, you got all these issues. But there's times, you know, year before last, I camped every weekend on my lot, all winter long.
Yeah.
And
I
would do a couple inches of snow at most.
Mm-hmm. Well, and my feeling as to winter rentals are, there are a couple things. Roads is certainly an accessibility, yeah. Certainly. One of the main things is, how do you feel about it? Because it's more work for you. I'm going to be sitting in my office right here. It's not going to make any difference to me one way or the other, whether the cabins are full or not. So how do you feel about it?
Winter time is slack time. And just so everybody understands my mentality, because, you know, I've got probably a combined 12 years experience on guest ranches specifically. So activities are important. Meals are important. All the stuff that we don't offer. You know, we have kind of it's kind of cool because we have a blank slate. And we can build this up any way we want. And I have the experience to guide you on how to be able to create some winter experiences here. So, yeah, people can come up and have fun in bobsledding. So people will drive. I got a daughter that will drive 900 miles to go bobsledding in a certain spot that she saw a great picture of. And, you know, it's just amazing what people will do, but if he has something to offer. And that's what I've been saying, and I don't want to stick my foot in my mouth and make overpromise. I think initially this year we need to get on track. We need to create a good foundation to work from on all aspects, paperwork, physically. And, you know, I think once we get these things under control, we kind of know where we are, we can offer fun stuff to do in the wintertime. Ice fishing for the kids, you know.
Well, I was thinking wintertime should be less of a do-it-yourself type thing. Like a ranch normally is just do-it-yourself, like you know what I mean? It's your property, do what you want. Make winter more like what he's talking about. It's ranch based.
So you can control where they're going.
Exactly. What roads are they going to be on?
Yeah.
And it's all semi controlled by.
And this winter, of course, there's not going to be a chance. But starting next Saturday, you're going to get a weekend review, and I'm going to structure it, and I'll open to suggestions on more information that you're looking for. But we have 17 cameras up at the ranch. Is that how many? 14?
I didn't know we had that many.
I thought we only had two or three.
Well, we've got seven of them that are on the web, and the rest of them are just locked up in a lockbox, and they only take pictures as you go by. Okay. You have to drive up and take it out. Take the Sims card out. There's only seven of them that are actually on the website.
Online. So, you know, you kind of have an idea. You have access to what the weather's like up there. So, not like I have to read, but I my perspective on the weather, road conditions, and, you know, say there's a great week, it's frozen solid, it's not going to get over 15 degrees. We don't have to worry about people crashing the snow. It's a winter wonderland. Come on up and encourage people to come up and rent those cabins.
First of all, I'm glad people want to do that. But Collins has hit it right on the head. There's going to be a lot of stuck cars on Scooter Pile Road.
Yeah.
I went up there, 10, 15 years ago to my cabin in the first week of April. There was no snow on the ground from Kanab all the way to my cabin. Saw no snow. Got there at night, pulled in, parked, got the fireplace going. Woke up the next morning and I had 10 inches of snow on top of my vehicle and on my porch. And I have, at that time I was driving a Scout. I jacked it up. I put snow chains on all four tires. It didn't quit snowing the next morning until I got below the, what do you call that? The gravel pit down by Robinson's old house. There was snow all the way down there.
Well,
and I got a hold of Brent and he said it snowed all the rest of that. If somebody goes up there, how the heck are they going to get out?
Well, and this is where, you know, the communication there. I'm there. I'm on site. You got a 10-day clear forecast. It's freezing cold. You got a foot of base everywhere. You know, it's a place to come and play, but I'm not going to say that if we're going to have snowstorms coming.
Yeah,
if the roads are unfavorable.
So I think
that's
where, you know, the actual.
I'm going to learn to make a call on when it's a come up next weekend.
And then it's all going to be, you're responsible. If you get stuck, you're responsible for,
you know,
taking care of yourself. Yeah, I mean, you can do that anywhere.
But here's my concern. Cabin, lot number 109 is J.T. Twilliger. And he calls me all the time, says, Joe, I'm going to go up this weekend. How much snow's on your property? He's got my camera, because it's not on your website, but he's got my camera. There's 2 foot of snow on my lot. I says, if there's 2 foot of snow on my lot, you're only a quarter mile from me. There's 2 foot of snow on your lot. If he goes up, he brings his daughter with him. And if he gets stuck, I would not be responsible for a 7-year-old girl getting hurt because he can't walk out. It just, that
is
just
bothers me.
J.T. Twilliger.
J.T.
It's lot 109. It's right.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break for a second. So let's go ahead and get started again. John, are you still there on the phone? Well, we'll get going, and John hopefully can join us.
Can I just say one thing real quick?
All right. Go ahead, Kurt.
I'm just answering your question as far as the cabins go in the winter use. I don't mind doing it. And there's a fee for doing it. We have a setup fee. To me, it's a moot point. Yes, the cabins are available. This is what it costs to unwinterize them and re-winterize them. And if two people rent in a row, then you only pay half that cost because you can pay the opening and they can pay the closing. And, I don't mind doing it.
So if we open it up, then when do you propose to start?
Right now I would just offer 8 and give me a couple days to finish my railings.
Offer 7 or 8?
8. Because I haven't started anything on 8 yet. And I'm waiting on the budget approval to do anything in there. So,
well, 7,
7 I got to finish the railings on. And then, I mean, 7 is 100% usable after that. I just feel good having the pickets. Not the railings, the pickets. And I got the pickets all cut. I just got to go finish putting them on.
Part of, you know, when we had the discussion, emailing back and forth a week and a half ago or so, I think some of us were still under confused impressions of at what point are we at. You were asking and kind of pushing for, hey, we've promised members they can be rented, and now we're pulling back off. I'm confused. I was under the impression that Cabin 7 wasn't.
We've rented Cabin 7.
To a point where it was safe or, you know.
It's the railings are all up. The pickets just need to be put in. I got one that I need a tall guy to help me next time he's up to hold this
Larry
branch while I cut it to pull away from the solar.
Well, I'm saying we've made commitments or said they're available, and then they're not available, and then they're not finished, or they are finished, and so they're
confused. Yeah, I think they're all safe to use whenever you guys want to start offering them. That's fine.
Well, part of my confusion was I had anticipated that they were going to be open for the holidays. I had always anticipated, I didn't clarify, that from January to March they were closed just because we didn't want to deal with mud and mess and
that's what, that's where I mean,
if somebody called us and said we're coming up there next week with snowmobiles, we know there's 3 feet of snow on the ground on a case by case basis, I think we could approve that based on what I was thinking. But just to say,
we're opening up reservations carte blanche to whoever wants to reserve them, I think is a little bit dangerous.
Well, but how about if we go,
again, it doesn't affect
what I'm doing. How about if we go forward? It's not winterizing and underwinterizing. It is, mud is an issue, and I mean, I stepped out of my truck the other day, and I went into 2 inches of mud, and right in front of the house. And you know, it's, you don't want, really want people up there when it's like that, because it is going to trash. It's hard on the floors and everything. But if we can give this my week in review a chance, and you know, when the conditions are good for using winter the cabins. Let me put it out there and try it like that instead of just opening them all the way up. What about
And I'm okay with that. I just, okay. Like I said, I just want to.
If it's a swamp, I'm going to say, you know what, we probably better not to come up to the ramp. I can tell you, you can't come up. But like Connie Malay called the other day and said, you know, I want to know what to do. I said, well, it's pretty muddy up here right now, Connie. And two of her sons work for me. For quite a bit, and so I'm pretty familiar with the family, but she goes, all right, well, thank you.
Does anybody have a problem if we leave it in Kurt's discretion to communicate between Kurt and Mariah to just make the best of it, understanding that we're kind of trying this out and see how it works on a case-by-case basis for this year, and then we'll make a plan sometime during the summer as to what we're going to do in the next off-season. Does that work?
I'm good with that.
And then this summer, one of my downtime, I got a couple of projects that are just going to be dedicated slowly to downtime. I'm caught up on everything, yuck, but doing the wood yard and doing firewood, I'm not comfortable where the firewood is to open it up full bunch anyhow.
Yeah.
There's nowhere really to cut firewood under the... it's not all wet and no firewood got cut for the winter, and I mean there's a little bit here and there, but you know.
Well, I'm okay with leaving it in your discretion. I just think it's going to be a lot of work.
It is.
I'm interested. It was interesting to see the 50 members that responded and that kind of stuff. It appeared to me that there's probably some interest in Thanksgiving and Christmas, but as far as winter time, unless you have snowmobiles, once you get to the ranch, then you're stuck.
Yeah.
Headquarters, and that's not much fun to drive around in the mud.
So they even have to lock that gate going down into the Metal Canyon and put a sign on it that says snowmobiles only.
That's the,
otherwise, that road would be junk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we okay proceeding that way? I don't think we necessarily have to have a vote on that. Let's just.
Okay.
You keep us informed in your weekly updates as to where that's at.
So just to clarify, fire. Right now, I'm going to leave cabin 7 and 8 off of the books. And how are we going to
leave it off? Leave everything just how it is until Kurt tells.
We'll talk about it. Like right now, I wouldn't recommend people go up there because of muddy. You know, the days are short. The muddy period is only a couple of hours long, but it's enough to trash the roads.
Yeah.
Trash the floors.
I would love to see people enjoy it up there, but I personally don't have the equipment that I'd feel comfortable going up there because I'd end up stuck, and I'm too fat to walk out without freezing to death.
And you got, just going over what the comments were and stuff, I mean, they probably have a bigger interest in people coming up if you had winter activities going on in the wintertime.
Well, and that's...
You have a bigger, better interest, but right now you don't.
And that's next year we can look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, let's see what... Do you want to talk about tiny cabins real quick?
Yes. I have been approached in these Cumberland buildings.
You believe it? I got some small landed.
Property in
Arizona. Property in
I think we got it.
No, I got it.
Okay. It's Cumberland Buildings. I wanted to talk to this gentleman. My son works with him. And I wanted to talk to him about the possibility of having a few buildings out there for people to look at. Remember, last year we had one sitting out, and we had several people inquiring about them, and is it for sale? I've got the guy that they build them there in Washington. And so he said for him to bring some out so we can display them if somebody wants to buy them, but put some literature out. He could do that. Now, the gentleman that is got the these, of course, are not cabin approval. They have to have an architectural floor plans done up for the snow roof. And for the snow roof, I got the measurements on that, but it was like 55 in the 6,500 elevation. It had to be the snow load was 65 pounds per square foot. So we've got the gentleman that's building these buildings for this company in Washington, and he is getting some because my son's going to have one done and taken up there. So he's going to build. He's already got the floor plans to do the roofing for it, so it will handle the snow load. But these here are like sheds and stuff to bring up their display. I know there's people like Kurt and several people that are contractors, but people that live further away don't have the capability of getting something built, and they want to have something for when they go out and have four-wheelers or tools or whatever and have place there. So I just was hoping that we could take that little strip down by the air that's on the north side of the airport and place there. We talked about the ranch headquarters, but Kurt wants to take that.
You're talking about the same place where the other one was
right.
Where the
small building.
Clint Fulmer snow cat was parked
right.
there for
it's
a while.
Not there anymore.
Do you want to put one there?
Put three.
Three.
There's going to be different sizes.
For display, for models.
Uh-huh. Oh. And then...
I think we ought to put a model up at the upper cabins. About a 10 by 10.
See, I made a suggestion. No. We put a building up by the upper cabins, put an extra toilet in there, and all the supplies that are needed. So everybody goes for a screw. We ain't got to
run all of that, man.
Oh.
Waste an hour and a half of driving.
Yeah,
that's
a
great
idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So anyway,
there should be a metal one so the mice can't finally get through, because they will get through.
I think it should be the best one to be threatening to the laundry hut with washer and dryer.
We'd like to do that.
We're going to work on
that. The Cumberland building for the laundry hut, how much was that?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
$7,000.
Yeah, that's right. You did look that up.
Okay.
Ouch.
So, anyway, they've got where you can build it the way you want.
How big is it?
Buy
it's
one.
10 by 16.
10 plus by 16.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
we bought a 10 by 12 kit from
Lowe's
for $1,000.
Yeah.
It didn't come with the floor.
Now, this does have the floor in it.
Well, this one, the one at the ranch, now, just so everybody knows, we had to put the $7,000 includes the shelving and the floor, because it didn't come with a floor. So the one that went into the ranch was
that's a lot more money
about $6,000, and then there's $1,000 in the floors and shelving on that.
No, I have on my property, I have 2 8-foot by 40-footers,
mm-hmm.
and I paid $3,200 delivered to my lot.
Yeah.
Well,
8 by 8, 1978.
8 foot by 40 foot.
Oh, well, those are
sea cut crates. Yeah. No, but for storage.
Yeah.
But how long? Because
I can't find them about 15 years ago. Well, I think
you can get them for about $3,500.
Yeah, you're looking at about $4,000 set in place.
Yeah.
For
shipping and delivery.
Yeah.
Well, these are a little bit different. And there's some that have a porch on it. The ones that I told them that I felt like we... I would like to have is there's wood, they got painted. Oh, somebody else has got mine where I mark notes. But anyway, there's three of them. There was going to be a side lofted barn where there was a two barn doors people could walk in out along with the walk in. Then there was going to be a painted with a porch, the side porch that they were going to bring up. So we could put some literature in there and see if we can help anybody that's interested. I know that when I sell a lot, the first thing they ask, is there anything on it? No, there isn't.
Sure.
They're asking, who could I hire to build something out there, just for a shed? So if they see this, that's an option for them. They can get the sea crate if that's what they want.
but just putting options out there for people.
So my question is what are you asking or what are you proposing the association do?
I am proposing the association allow that area down by the airport on the north side to be able to allow some of this, you know, it's off the path. It's not going to be in the airstrip.
Would we get any kind of kickback as there is the same price as
if they sold it or if I helped sell it. So there's no tax interest on that or anything like that. So it's just me putting it out there and trying to.
It's just basically
offering a service.
A service for people to have an option.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think if you could offer potential customers a 10% DSR discount, or if the ranch itself would get 10% of the sale of it just for having the display.
Oh, they some kind of the distributors.
And that's a deal with a company like that's hard. And you have, plus, you know, getting a 10% discount, but then they have to drag it 67 miles from Washington up to the ranch. You know, I mean, it's just.
And then if they have it just a little bit bigger, somebody say somebody wants a little bit bigger, then they have to bring a pilot car in. And
right.
So there's, I mean, that's with any big structure, but you take four or five of our lots over by Johnny Brown, they did a park model. And they had to block off the roads and
trim trees and everything.
Yeah, trim trees to get them in there.
So I'll give you my thoughts and then open it for a short discussion when we're done. I don't have a big problem with providing them a spot to display a building or two or three. I want to keep it completely separate from the association because we don't want any of the liability. These I've checked into these with a client of mine who built all the cabins on the east side of Kanab for hotel rooms and stuff. These are not residential grade.
No, they're not.
And they cannot be used as residences. Now, they make them pretty look like it, but they can't. They don't
but
have
they
the
can make it that way if they
yes,
want.
Yes, if they
to,
want to hire a contractor. So that's why I'm just explaining why I would want separation to say, right. Okay, we're going to provide you with a spot that you can pull a couple of things and put your literature in it, and if people are interested, they can come. We need to keep the association completely out of the middle of the communication and otherwise. I would expect for doing that at some point in time, maybe it's 5 years down the road, that one of those big buildings that they already built becomes ours to move and use whatever you want. If we can do something like that, then I don't have a problem with
that. That's great. I had a similar.
I would have to talk to them about that. I don't know if they would or not.
I was going
to
say, if they want to put three there, and I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I would say I want to buy one. The ranch wants to buy one at their cost for that purpose.
At their cost would probably be, yeah. And I was talking about
use one of 10 by 10 up at the number of cabins.
Well, I was just thinking they're going to have them there as models, and they're going to, at some point in time, 3 or 4 years down the road, they're going to want to swap them out anyway because it's.
Well, and I told them, I said, if somebody sees this and they don't want to wait to have theirs built and brought up, that they can buy this, is that workable? And he said, yes.
And
so, but it needs three brought up at the same time to make it worth the price for them. So
I don't have a problem. I don't think we necessarily. I mean, it's just like, you know, the guys that want to do the trail drive, we can make some space available for somebody to provide a service that I think ultimately will benefit the members up there and having an option of something to look at. So anybody feel differently as far as absolutely not or concerns with that? I want it completely separate as we're providing some space for you to park these and that's it, just so it's clear that we're not encouraging or trusting or doing anything like that. Does that make sense?
Well, I think if you're using the association ground, which is member land, the ranch should get something for it. You're advertising the company's product, the ranch should get something for it.
And that's why I said if they will provide at cost a unit that can go up by the upper cabins, I'm okay with that. If they say one of these three models that's sitting there at the end of 36 months, if they may say 5 years, then we get to keep one to use rolling future. They've already built it. It's already there. The cost is already expended, and hopefully they've made something off of it. I'm okay with that, too. I agree. We need to get something. I don't want to make it so burdensome that it just doesn't work, because I think it would be nice to have something there for members to ask about, and it may work
out.
There's
a lot of people that asked about that building down below.
And advertising is not free.
No, it's not. It's not.
I hate to see us get stuck in a situation where we can't get rid of them if we want them got rid of, too. Is that going to show
up? I don't think that's going to be a problem, because I'll buy one.
Yeah, you can move them to my lot, no problem.
we'll make them go away. Why don't you talk to them a little bit more and see what they would be willing to do down those lines, and then let's talk and, like, you know, obviously they're not going to do it right now.
To kind of clarify, these can be used as residents and cabins. They're not the quality of the cabins that were built there for
they tell me that there's some sub-level sheeting that has to be in order for it to qualify under the building code to be used as a
cabin. I talked to the guy that's building
for commercial use,
for
rental type stuff. If you want to just put this on your lot as your little camper cabin, you can, but you have to get a building permit. You can't just haul it out there, dump it out, because you'll get red tagged and you'll get fined and it'll be a mess.
Well, and you certainly cannot. You cannot install water, electricity, gas, or any utility to it without a building permit.
I had to go to the state to talk to them. We were turned in. I had to convince them we didn't in the water. We don't have gas, water, and electric. And
that's why the water and dryer out there is, because we'd have to go get a building permit. And eventually it'll happen.
If you get a building permit, you have to have an engineered foundation that it sets on.
Yep.
And you have to have an engineered snow load. But they can be used as a dormitory, you know, a sleeping quarters, a room, a cabin.
And I would just like for the association to avoid any question on that. All we're doing is providing the space, and I think then it's an opportunity for members to talk directly to the manufacturer and pick what they want and talk about what they can and can't do. Obviously, I don't know the manufacturer, but hopefully they don't mislead anybody. I don't have any reason to think that they will, but you can't just plop it on the ground up there. And although in the last season, you can do anything you want.
You can't build your cabin 3 feet out into the road that's actually your property, but they've used it for the road, because when you do that, they get mad.
I'll write that down.
Okay. Does that work?
Yep, that works.
And I would encourage him. I think it's something, and we're going to have to deal with this more and more as we move on. There are going to be people who want to provide or advertise services for members, and I think that's great, because it gives members options, and so we want to encourage them. That kind of stuff, but we'll have to, you know, we have to at some point look at the possibility of competing proposals on, not necessarily on this, but on any other service. So.
And that's fine. Yep.
Okay.
At some point, something like this as a service maintenance shack up at the upper cabin, so you're not running back and forth.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Something along this labor could be possibly at the fish pond area for a place to get in and get warm, to prepare a meal if you've got your family there fishing and camping and having a picnic.
Maybe that's where they got to figure out how to do bathrooms.
Life jackets, blow up rafts, whatever they're going to use on the ponds can be stored inside something secure. I've talked to everybody about something to be done on the association lots in Spike Canyon, Crawford Canyon, and Podunk. A little cabin like this, you know, that's an idea. So people could do an overnight camp, satellite campsites. So if we end up with one of these in a few years as a at cost or whatever,
or if they're willing to sell them to us from time to time at cost, maybe one a year or something, that doesn't take anything out of their pocket. I'm not trying to gouge it, but at the same time, we gotta get some benefit just to justify it to the members. So
I think they should make a little one the size of a phone booth and put it up on the scooting pile
at the phone booth.
So you go in there with your cell phone and you're in the phone booth.
Okay, we're moving on.
For a year, we couldn't find the phone booth. I'm like, where is it?
I think according to everything that I see, there's one other small item, and then the budget is all. Is there anything anybody else needs to discuss before we get moving on?
One quick thing. Phil Hall called me while I was driving up. He is going to pay to have a 60-foot track hoe delivered to the ranch sometime between now and April. It's $800 getting it here, $800 getting it back where it belongs, and it's approximately $1,000 to $1,600 a day to use it. It's a 60-foot thing. He's going to have his pond dredged out. He asked me to ask the board. I just talked with Larry about it. When it leaves his place, that comes down past pond 1 and 2. He could dredge out pond 1, turn it around, get pond 2. Then on the way down, he could actually do the Half Moon Reservoir. If we think about it, the Half Moon Reservoir costs us almost $4,000 by itself. If we could do three places for $1,600 a day, we could be way ahead of money on the budget for in the future. For we could also do, if it's working fast, we could do the Red Reservoir, because it needs to be dredged out too, if Larry agrees. I think he does.
Is that the price with an operator?
No, you have to pay for the operator. Well, yeah, with the operator, it's between $1,000 and $1,600 and the fuel. He doesn't know how much fuel and how long he's going to take, but it could be as low as $1,000 a day once it's here, or it could be $1,600 a day, depending on fuel and operator. And there again, I asked Larry, as if he's going to do pond 1 and 2, we don't want to just dump it in a big pile so it looks like all the longhorns dumped in one spot. He could haul it off. We could pay Larry to haul the dirt off with his dump truck.
Well, we have wanted for some time to do some remedial work on the fish ponds, for sure.
Yeah, 1 and 2
and
for sure.
And we spend money every year on Half Moon Reservoir to clean it out to the extent we can afford. So, I mean, if there's a way for you guys that know how this stuff, and I don't pretend to know, but if there's a way to clean up and dredge out pond number 1 and 2 while it's here, then I would prefer to spend the money while we have a machine that's capable.
That's capable.
You don't have anything. Your son doesn't even have anything necessarily that would dredge out a pond without
a long reach.
I'm not sure if he does or not.
A machine like he's bringing that has 60-foot reach is what would be needed to do some of the pond work. The other machines we do have available.
Well, as far as hauling away and trimming and contouring the edges and that kind of stuff, we can do. But as far as getting more volume of water and cleaning out all the willows and all that kind of stuff so that it looks like a pond instead of a...
No, we wouldn't have to haul away at the Red Reservoir. We could just dump it over the side. And the same thing at Half Moon. But we don't want it to look that bad on 1 and 2. So I suggest that we haul it away in that area.
When does he have it coming?
He wants to get it done before April. So we have to reserve it before the end of February, or it'll be kicked down the road to next year, possibly. Because it's in the general area. And he's looking for customers, and we're one of them. So we're going to have to buy it for the rental time, or it'll pass.
Can we get, are we going to be able to get it out
with
there?
The roads? I'm going
to
have the roads.
That's what I told Phil. I said,
I guess if you're not getting it out there, then
you may not get it to your place before April. Neither can we, depending on the snow.
He could. The problem is, too early, there's too much snow.
Too much snow.
Unless you bulldoze and clear the snow. Too late, it's too soft
much,
and
too
soggy
snow.
To truck it in. He could walk it in, which takes a whole day of
just
driving it up.
There's $1,000 more right there.
Yeah, so it's going to be a...
I'd like to see it happen. I don't know whatever we need to do.
Okay, I'll tell Phil to get some better figures, and we got to check on the road conditions, otherwise the whole thing's off.
Right. Well, I'm in favor of that.
Anybody we could clean fish pond 1 and 2, and it's stuff that needs to be cleaned out, and rather than truck it off long distance somewhere...
We can truck it off later.
If anybody knows, there's another between pond 1, 2, and 3. There's a fourth pond over to slightly to the west that most people don't even know is there. But the erosion below that can be filled in because no water.
There's a whole bunch of erosion around pond
3. Those erosions we can just fill
in.
So the willow clumps and dirt and muck and everything we can make short distance. Pushes, hauls, whatever.
Okay, I'll tell Phil we're interested and get some firm figures. And
what's the
Anybody else? I have one other issue. I have signed up, just for your information, and I need to clear it through the board. I've signed up to take the week-long course to become a water operator. I don't want to. If anybody wants to, the problem is we need to have somebody that's consistently here and able to do it to me, because we keep going through over and over again. The cost for the class, $200, plus I have to take a whole week off of work. And I'm
bucks.
Yeah, that's not one. That's not mine.
When is the class?
Last week in February. The whole week, and the test is on Friday.
Yeah, this is all late.
No, it's here in St. George. That's why I'm doing it. Hallelujah. So, if we want to add somebody to it, or if you have any objection to me doing it, or anybody's going to feel like this is some kind of conflict, let me know. I'm more than happy to back out. But if I get water certified and continue, I'm going to expect to be paid for that. Probably we threw it out to somebody else at $75 a month. The license, I think, is either good for 24 months or 36 months, and I haven't gotten that far. But I'm happy to do that, and you're not going to charge for the week's worth of time that I'm doing it. I don't want to do it, but it needs to be done. So I'm willing to do it, even if I'm not on the board as far as being the certified water operator moving forward, but I'm going to expect to be paid on a monthly basis. Any objections? I can't vote on it. That's a conflict of interest, because it's going to put wads and wads of money in my pocket.
And you do the monthly testing as well?
No, that's the thing. Brent or the property manager, they do the testing. The certified water operator gets you points with the state if you have one. And if there's a problem, I need to be consulted with as to how we resolve the problem. But the guy we send it out to, $1,000 a month he wanted. That didn't include any of the actual work on fixing anything.
Is that the guy that came up to the ranch a couple weeks ago?
Yeah. So,
holy cow.
And everyone else that's licensed and talked to said, not interested, no hablo inglés.
I'll join you on the water class.
Okay. Well, before you say that, though, I vote that the ranch caretaker is not part of that. Because when Rachel was part of it, caretaker leaves, our water operator leaves.
But I'm a lot older.
He leaves, there's a potential for that to leave.
Well, we're going to have that no matter what. At some point in time, I may fall off a cliff or leave. But what I do want to have is some consistency. Paul did it, kind of. Then we had a gap. We don't have to have one. I want to explain this. We don't have to have one. We just don't get as many brownie points with the state. So if we have a problem, we get in trouble sooner if we don't have a certified water operator. I'm just saying, I'm tired of asking and calling. I've spent more time calling people and trying to figure out what we're going to do to get this covered than it's worth. So I'm just going to do it. I would love to have, the more we have as far as certified, the better. I don't know if you can take a complete week off, but it's 8 hours a day from Monday through Friday that whole week. So
I just have to get Brent or...
Next week?
Yep.
Last week in February.
So if the two of you went to the class, are both of you becoming certified water operators? Is it...
Might as well.
Is it something that you're designated by person or entity?
There's one certified water operator that's going to be affiliated with this system, so that they have a problem, that's the person they contact. And quite honestly, if we have two people certified, then that's fine.
But I renew, too.
Every 2 years, then you have to get continuing education every year and go to... But it's not nearly as hard to keep certified as it is yet. That's the problem, is getting certified is the problem. Well, it's not a problem. It's just somebody's got to pass.
So do we pay for two certified, or do you guys split it, or how do you do that?
Well, and what I'm suggesting right now, and the reason why I had Mariah hold off, I'm willing to pay for my own and dedicate the week. That's why I'm just telling you. But you're going to pay me over the next year or two as a certified water operator. If Kurt's interested in doing it, I'll let him talk about whether he's expecting the ranch to pay for it or not. I'm not expecting
only $800 because I'm good.
Only $800 a month. I just want the problem solved, and we've struggled for at least 5 years to have somebody to do it, and it's not that hard once you get the certification. It's a piece of paper, and then you sign off on it. So, Candy.
But we also need someone else to do the chemicals. So they got to go to school and get a license for the chemical.
Completely separate thing, but absolutely.
No, what I'm saying, instead of having two people do the same thing, maybe someone could do something else. He's a lot older, so he's going to be there. But we need that covered as much as
you know, what you're talking about is spray chemicals on the plants.
We control herbicides.
That's the reason why we haven't done it, right?
Yep. Yeah. We don't have the license to be able to handle and buy the chemicals. They won't sell you the chemicals unless you have the license.
And we may be able to solve that through other guys that have already done it. Like, I've been talking with Worth Brown.
Well, Worth, I just say I'll go through Worth and get him.
Yeah.
that's something else we need to address because we've been talking about spraying and treating weeds for a long time, and here we are 3 years later, and we haven't, I don't think we've sprayed once.
But Rachel went to school.
No, we have not.
Rachel was.
No, we bought
Rachel. Rachel, we bought certified.
She didn't have, oh, I didn't know that.
Sorry. Oh, she didn't.
Oh, maybe I'm speaking for Brad. Chemical. Just said that he was not able to get somebody,
no,
and so he was going to.
From what I understand, she went. She took the test and got certified a few weeks before she left us.
Oh.
And then Brad contacted her to say, "Will you at least go buy the chemicals?" And I'm guessing that conversation didn't go well for
her. Okay. We did buy the water tank to spray. With Brad Water for $800, we do
yep,
have that.
We've got the stuff to do the work. We just have to have somebody with a piece of paper.
I know Phil is out spraying something.
We purchased $3,000 worth of chemical in 2017. I think there's chemical on the ranch.
Okay, yeah. Well, we just need to coordinate and talk about that because it needs to be done.
This one.
Okay, and if nothing else, let's talk. Quickly, well, let's move on to the budget. That's the big item. And turn the time over to Mariah.
Okay. Well, do you want me to work on the chemical certification?
It would be best if you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should. Yes. I would agree to that.
Who do I contact?
Unless Brad or Hunt was already doing it, because yeah, I thought Brad he had made a comment about he was going to do it because he can't find one.
I would just talk to Brad. He's been that's his area, and he's been working on it. So just see where he got, and he knows who to contact and everything else. Mm-hmm. Water, I'll help take care of, and if I don't know the answers, I'll call Joe. He'll ask Candy.
You learn.
Okay, budget.
Okay, I hope this will be fairly easy. I took all of the budget requests from all of the members, and I went in, or excuse me, from all the members of the board, and I put all of them in. And it turned out a very nice little workout. So, what we have left over after I did that is here's our. Right here is what I expect for the income, and right here is what I expect for expenses. That's with everybody's input. So thank you, first of all, for all the budget request forms. That worked really well, gave me concrete numbers that I could work with. What that means is we would show a deficit with this of $2,600. That I'm not concerned about. So my overall just opener is I feel like we have a balanced budget. I think we could go ahead and approve that. However, there are some items on here that do need to be approved individually, and this is where it'll take a little bit of time.
Before we go through that, did anybody have any epiphany after they turned in their numbers of something they forgot? Did you get in numbers for the mattresses, even though I didn't give you those numbers until 2 months after you asked me for them?
I relayed them over to her, and we talked about it.
Okay. Anybody else?
I asked him, but neither one of us put in for the a shed of some sort up in the upper cabins for holding supplies.
Okay, that doesn't go in our normal annual budget. That's the special. What do you call it?
I just call it special project.
Special project.
Oh, okay.
But yes, we'll need to discuss that. But ongoing budget relates to every year operation repeated everything. So we have to have some budget for tools, for example. But like big items like a shed or repairing or remodeling the cabin, those are a little bit special outside of the budget.
What about the barbecue grill? Is that under special?
That's a special project.
Okay.
That would be a special project.
Okay. I had a question too. I asked last year the money that we raised from the auction. I talked with Kurt, and there are no Dutch ovens left, so the ranch evidently doesn't have any. Okay. I have said before I would like to buy some tables and some Dutch ovens or things that we need that belong to the ranch that will not go away.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something I can still spend?
from the auction
yes.
money.
No question.
And I don't know if I need permission for that again, but it's absolutely, when they're on sale, I want to buy
no,
it
go ahead.
The ranch.
And when they closed down Kmart down here, because I helped with selling the plaza, they had, and I didn't jump on it, I thought about calling you, they had giant size pavilion tent. You know, the pop-up tents.
Wanted that, yes.
And they were like half off, but then I blew it, and now they're closed. So, but if it comes up an opportunity to purchase or to obtain something to cover our annual meeting in the event of rain or something, then that should be included as well. And if you need some money from savings or for to dip into the special projects budget, do it.
Okay.
Richie Brothers in March.
See, Mariah, you were right. You said
these
were
the option.
Really good ones.
Yeah.
That's just right up the road.
Yeah, that's right there.
Okay, anyways, all right, let's move on to the issues
okay,
of the budget.
So one of the things we need to add in here that I didn't add, though, that I just realize is we need to add an additional $900, and that's for our water operator, if you have approved that happens.
Mm.
So do we need to approve that, Barry, or are we set to go, and I'll just add that in?
Let's put it in so that we balance the budget, but I was thinking that we had that covered in water. I guess we didn't set aside anything for water fees.
We have water, no, not necessarily for an operator. We have water training. We have $500 for water training.
So that can go toward that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And let's see. So, Barry, I bet out of your budget, we could probably make that money come out of your budget for this year and have
that's,
it for
that's,
next year.
That's what I was thinking, is we had enough.
I think you can.
In the worst case scenario,
previous water budget,
yeah.
I won't be able to go and have prime rib for lunch every day.
Okay. Okay, so going back
that's
up.
That's no
Let me come back up here to the top to our income. Okay, because of the way things have changed, there's a few things that I propose that we make some changes on as far as removing categories. And some of those are just to clean things up now that we have a new like cabin rental program. We don't need to pay for play income. These are, I don't know how much of this you want to detail out and say, okay, let's just remove categories that don't make sense. Like the petting zoo donations is not going to be a thing anymore. Pay for play, we might need to keep because of this new program. Equipment work income, this is something that I think you guys said we're not going to do anymore. We should just take that off of an income possibility. Just remove those.
If we do, then it can just be added to the overall income. It's not regular enough, and we're not going to do it enough to continue to have it. So I think you're the one that deals with these spreadsheets, if it makes sense to remove a category and the money's still accounted for, then I would just simplify the spreadsheet and remove those categories.
Okay.
Does anybody have an objection to that?
Okay,
most of us
great.
Don't understand that.
That's fine. Okay, there's a couple of new things. It helps when you're in it every day. That definitely helps. Okay, there's a couple of things that we've added. I just want you to be aware. I have added a new line item for the cargo trailer. That's line number 90 here. I've also added a new line item for lawnmower. I added a little bit of money for both of those. I don't know if we're going to need any maintenance on those. But I threw a little bit of money in there. I hope those announced.
The porta potty rental, do we really pay a monthly fee for that?
The porta potty we haven't had since I've been here. It was hauled off.
We
got $200
a month.
And it was expensive to have out there.
We at some point need to do something about bathrooms in the pond area, just because there's a lot of people that want to spend time there, and it.
Doesn't make sense not to.
Right.
Is there can you have a, what would be the closest proximity that you can put a septic in over there?
We'd have to.
Yeah.
What
you need, instead of a septic system, it's a holding vault.
Holding vault.
So like the Forest Service up above Crawford Pass, the Forest Service has a really nice block or stone building, and those men and women both have a holding vault below them. It's not a septic system that's leaching anywhere.
Okay, they just
and then they come in and pump it once
the
a year.
It's that pit toilet, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we were thinking about doing that before and building a building out of just the cinder blocks. That's our thought was before.
Yeah.
Right in that area.
So no porta potties as far as that goes, but we could set aside the porta potty rental money ultimately to build to build something.
Well, we've had a real problem with the porta potties out there,
because toilet paper everywhere, wind blew one over, blew the door off, and they
they're
wouldn't
not,
come pick them
not
up.
They're not cleaned or maintained to
no,
the point.
No, they're nasty.
So. I like the idea, because we can't do septic anywhere. That's a source of the water that goes to the cabin and that kind of stuff.
And I was thinking more about gray water for washing hands and stuff like that.
Well, if you capture the water and the tank's large enough and to have somebody come pump it, while we have them come service, and we should be on a rotation of pumping the septic tanks of the cabins anyway, then they can handle that all the same trip.
Yes, right. Can we put a septic tank by the ponds without a permit?
No.
It's got to be a permit also, even though it's not a cabin attached.
That's right.
A good point.
Well, it's a water source. Can you put a septic
tank? Yeah, anytime you do a septic, then the health department
down there
has to...
Is required to have a permit, and the new gal there is...
pretty stickler.
A pain. I don't know if you know Brad or anybody's dealt with her yet.
Which one is she?
Named Sandra. Sandy...
That must have been one Brad dealt with.
She's brand new. I mean, she just took over. And the guys in the past, I mean, for 25 years, out of Cedar City and the CNAB office, out of Alton and everywhere, have been practical. I mean, they have to still stick to their rules, but they understand how it all works. And she's brand new and scared of her shadow and going by the... I mean, she's made four or five people take out systems and redo them, guys that have done them for years and years.
Wow.
Because the book says aggregate has to be 2-inch maximum and 1/2-inch, 3/4-inch minimum. And if you have a rock in there that's smaller than what it says, you take out the whole system and redo it. And only 2% fines, which if there's a little dirt sprinkled in there.
So the lawyer screwed that up, huh?
Oh, yeah, believe those guys.
You don't get in heaven unless you have a receipt that you paid your lawyer a lot of money.
Would that be a special project that we could look into for this year?
That's on the list. Yeah, okay. We'll get to those in just a second to take a look at those. One other thing I went past. Oh, the fire truck. I know there's been discussion on whether we're going to keep the fire truck or not keep the fire truck. I didn't give it any money this year, so I don't know whether you want to change your mind on that, if it needs to have money added to it, or what's going on with that.
Kind of the discussion was brought, Barry's comment was we either need to have stuff at the ranch that's usable and working just to have it set there. If it's not usable in a time of need, then it's right. It shouldn't be there because it gives you a false sense of utility and hold.
Yep. Should it be fixed to a point that it does work, because when we need it, we want it.
We want it, but my understanding is that, and I could be completely wrong, in discussions with Brent and others, is it's so unreliable and unusable and that it...
Not to the point where we should almost get rid of it and then buy like a 300-gallon trailer with just a small water pump.
A water trailer.
And
use
one of our trucks
to
pump it there, because we don't run that engine long enough.
We haul water in the fire truck. Well, it won't run.
Yeah.
Or the pump doesn't run. Or, you know, and plus it's old and... tires and that. We'd be better off with a nice water trailer
or
a gas powered pump to go on it to spray. We'd use that for a million different things.
Yeah.
So luckily no money for this discussion. Let's don't add money to the fire truck later. Then let's talk about selling it or doing something else with it.
Another thing with the ranch telephone, I didn't highlight it because I just added this last night. Vance has the new ranch headquarters phone set up, and the baseline cost is $55 a month. And if we're going to keep using that, he'd like to have that be reimbursed to him. Now, I mentioned to him, I wish he was on today so he could explain further, that I don't see a reason why we couldn't reimburse him, but it might be wise to have the board understand why we wouldn't just put it in our name instead of keeping it through him, unless there's a particular reason why he would need to have access, full access to the account for adding more numbers, or I don't know what the idea is there.
My feeling on that is he put it in, he obtained permission and got it done, and so however's the easiest way for him. I don't have any problem with reimbursing him and leaving his name on it for right now.
Okay.
If we may have to switch that in the future if something happens to Vance, but I don't see any reason to change it for now. Does anybody feel differently?
Good.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, moving along.
There's no reason really for long distance out there, so
okay.
I can't think of any reason to have long distance capabilities on the landline.
So down the line, we may increase depending on if you need long distance.
Yeah, I can't imagine me needing it. I have email, I have
Your cell phone?
I have my cell phone. I can't use my cell, but I mean, I just don't. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we can revisit that if we need to.
By the fridge and get
home. Going backwards.
Didn't work for my phone.
Going backwards just a little. I don't want to.
You took your
so many words. So many. I don't know which way to go. Okay. Livestock and wildlife. We have a new category that was added this year, and again, I wish Brad was here to be able to share his thoughts on this. We have these all outlined, but wildlife, livestock, water lines, and troughs is a new category he's requesting money in, and I need approval to add that. He'd like to have $1,500 dedicated to that.
Not until we have a discussion on it.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Does everybody agree that we need to have a discussion on what's our... And the discussion is this. We need to identify what's our responsibility and what's Hunt Cattle Company's responsibility. The contract says we're responsible for hauling water, and it will save us hauling water if there are water troughs in certain areas. But it says nowhere that we're responsible for buying pipelines and water lines. So we just need to have a discussion before we approve that to determine what it is we're going to do and whose responsibility really it is. Is that
great? Anything to do with that particular subject needs to have a discussion.
Yes.
Yes.
And fencing as well. So and Brad needs to be part of that discussion. So
okay.
Now, the water hauling, to my best of my, is just to Deer Point. Is that correct?
Not necessarily, no.
So, I don't know where to haul water to or what all my responsibilities are.
The main thing is hauling water from headquarters to Deer Springs Point, because there's some basins there in August, in like late May, and then again in August, is my understanding. But I know they also haul some water up somewhere near Half Moon Reservoir, but I don't. Again, Brad has to be part of that discussion because I don't know what their expectation is.
I was under the impression that Rachel and Phil were hauling 3 days a week
during dry times, like we had this last year.
Yeah,
and I think that's right.
Probably were.
They would take most of the day for 3 days a week.
And that's why. That's why our property manager is going to have to look at that and decide if it's cheaper to have a $5 an hour kid out there come out 3 days a week to drive the truck or mess with that. I tried everything I could to get out of that obligation in the contract.
You can do what every other ranch in the world does and haul your own damn water or hire somebody to do it.
Well, as of now,
that's our responsibility.
And I apologize for that. I tried.
That's okay.
Anyway, let's move on.
Okay. Moving along, this category I didn't allocate. This is for our payroll. Now with things set up a little bit differently, I did not necessarily remove these sections yet. Well, I'm sure we'll have some residual because I won't be paying fourth quarter out until sometime this month. So we'll probably have a little bit of money.
Just leave those on.
Okay, that sounds good.
For now.
Okay. I'll be removing the store supplies and summer help. That was a category I didn't know that we necessarily needed anymore, but I have budget money in it, which will help our deficit. If we can remove that category, we can put that money to the deficit.
That's about half of what that deficit was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that that's,
we'll just make Kurt do it.
That's Kurt's responsibility. Kurt,
that's what I was thinking.
Sorry, Kurt.
Okay, and then moving. So that in the whole is the budget. Are there any budgets you want to look at specifically and see what money was requested? Or are we ready to discuss special projects?
I think we're ready. If you submitted your numbers, then
I'm trying to remember what mine was for cabins. What was yours? What did you put down for cabins?
I put an extra $5,000 on cabin 3 because we got to buy mattresses, more wallboard.
That was for special
project. This is for regular.
For regular cabin wise, you're going to have your regular maintenance fund that we've had for years, which is $4,000. Goes towards furnishings and upgrades, $4,800 goes to maintenance, and $3,500 we allocate for propane.
So that's for all.
So about $400 per cabin, about $480 per cabin, about $350.
So maintenance, $4,800
divided by 10.
That's $480 per cabin.
Yes, correct.
And what does that entail?
Maintenance items would be replaced.
That's like fixing screen doors or cracked glass in the window or
molding.
Plumbing.
That kind of stuff.
My question is, as Barry had said, we should
be putting together some kind of maintenance program for the septic tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Checking them out. Do we need to put
We've started one. We've started one for the cabins. Wasn't you or was it you? I did for the cabins.
I'm working on vehicle maintenance schedules. I'm going through my list of duties as far as property manager is concerned. And I'm taking the stuff out that can be planned, like vehicle maintenance. And that's the flatbed, the quad, and the pickup. And I need to get with Larry or Brent and figure out when's the last time the truck has oil changed and get that on the schedule. Something needs to be done with the steering column in that truck. Which one? Well, if you noticed it when you were driving by the Ford, it's like
that's just a Ford. You should never drive a Ford without inspecting.
How do you keep your biceps in shape? You ever notice that people who drive Fords are more muscular?
Yeah. We've been working on a septic tank rotation. We replaced two a couple of years ago. But we had, up to that point, then we had let them go until there was a problem. But
I'm just saying, in part of the $480, we should maybe, I know you don't want to increase things, but just some money in the budget, because it should be done.
That's a good point, but I think the septic system should have its own line item.
Probably
and it should be maintained accordingly.
Can you do that?
Yep, oh yeah, for sure.
I'll talk to you about that steering after the class.
Okay.
So septic line item, and we want to allocate some money to that. But we don't know what that is yet, so we're going to find out.
Do you have any history of what pumping costs and stuff like
yes,
that?
Yes, I can look that up and see what that is.
What did you pay for sevens? 400 to empty it, or 200? I mean, I'm sorry, 31.
I don't know, 450? But she increased it at the garden cabin, so it's kind of hard to get. No, Lynette had, because it was an emergency case.
Oh.
So I think we got to start all over again, because we had it pumped and then we had to replace it.
So we need a property manager to set up a schedule that says we're going to pump these two cabins this year and these two cabins next year.
I'm working on that.
And then we can budget a fixed amount that covers those every year, and we'll rotate our way through so that they don't go longer than 5 years without being pumped.
Okay.
But even going along with that, with the safety inspections that were done, unfortunately, he looked at every one of the cabins and said that the water heaters 25 years old. So money for safety for the issue of the cabins of when are they going to fall apart and not work anymore. So we have to include the safety features in the 480 per, because those water heaters could cost you $400.
So
without anything else.
So
when we did seven, that was still working. So I don't know where that got put, but it was still in.
But he said that he looked on there and he said they were like 25 years old.
So they threw it out?
I don't know what was done. I'm just saying.
There's a water heater on the porch in front of the tool shed. But we have water on demand in 7 now, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what's going into 8.
I purchased one for 8 that's in the closet, the master room.
Okay, so.
And we really ought to shift to that. You're talking about tankless water heaters?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to shift to that because the water's super hard. And it's much more energy efficient, especially where the cabins are sitting there days on end without anybody in them.
Right.
I know it's more expensive for a tankless water heater, but we have the propane right there, and it only heats the water you need, and you're done. You're not storing a bunch of water.
So I'm just saying, for the cabins and with money that you're allocating, I mean, we need safety items changed.
We don't have a wrench on the
battery. When I'm talking about when I'm talking about the cabins and going around and doing some stuff, one of the things we can be doing.
Okay. All right. Keep going. Let's go. I think we're in a special budget.
Okay.
It's hot and cold. We're taking a shower. I love this. They got rid of it.
You're supposed to be getting solar on all the cabins.
So special project wise, I have three requests from 2019 funds of projects that were started but that were not completed. Let me take you back over to this one, because this is where we left off over here. So there were three requests that from 2019 that be carried, their special project money, the remainder of it, be carried over to 2020 to finish the project from the 2019 revenue. The first one, I'm going to go out of order. The first one was the water project, to finish the water hauling station and to finish and to do some work on Half Moon Well. That request came from Barry to carry over $15,000 to finish those projects. The second request came from headquarters. There was work that was supposed to be done that was not done. That's now under Kurt. So that special project of $2,000 was asked to be carried over. Oh, no.
And that's all the money for the workbenches that are building.
Can't plug in? I didn't grab my plug.
It's all right. We can go through.
So,
what kind of computer do you have?
An HP. Well, it just has a little, maybe. Does yours just have a little? Yep, that's it.
Yeah, awesome.
Da-da-da. So the third category was livestock. Glad Hunt asked me to carry over the remainder of his budget to be put towards this 2020 budget. I think it's over there.
Yeah, the closest one. Yep.
To be put
towards. What are we going
to
unplug? Is your phone charged enough?
You can probably unplug my phone. Yeah, that's probably done. Well, just make sure it keeps recording.
I haven't done anything with testing yet.
We should put it in.
No?
Oh,
yeah, Brent was going to. No. When we do the unwinterizing, we're going to do all the settings and stuff like that.
Shoot.
Oh,
well, does anyone have that email? I send it to you on email. We can finish on email.
Do you want that unplugged?
Can you plug in your phone on the screen?
Let me see if it'll let me do that while I'm recording this meeting.
So
can you use that?
Hang on just a second. I may be able to throw this up from my phone up on here.
Can you use a USB port plug-in?
No. But that's okay. We can pull it up on email. I sent it out last night.
So keep talking.
Okay, so those are the three that we're asked to carry over. So with those, if we were to take those three, if you were to approve the carryover for the water system, for the headquarters project, and then Brad's remaining budget money that he'd like to have, that would put us down to about $28,000 of revenue left to still figure out what we want to do or put towards other special projects.
I'm going to be the fox here. For so many years, we had no money to be spent in the next year. Either you spent it by December 31st, or it was not part of the new budget because it screwed things up. Excuse me. So the whole idea is you spend the money that you need in this particular year. You do not carry it over, because then I want 1,000 here, and I want 3 here, and I want 2. It becomes not a clean-cut budget for 2020.
Yeah.
So if the board, and I know yours was the $15,000, it was not.
But I was just going to say that's true, and we're sticking to that as far as budget. But special projects is a little bit different. We've treated them different.
Okay.
Just so you know, the budget money that I asked to be carried over was actually set aside by Phil. And I don't know where he's at in it, and I haven't had a chance to look at it. So we had the money already set aside for this special project, and I just said, give me some time to figure it out. But we have treated, you're right, on budget items as far as the regular budget, mm-hmm. It's still turn it in by the end of December 15th or else it's gone. Mm-hmm. We have treated special projects a little bit different because that's money we would normally put into the savings account and then just pull back out of the savings account. But I agree
but
with
I
you.
I understand what you're saying. Then that's a big amount. That's a $15,000. But we're just picking. $1,700 here, another $2,000 here. We should have that money available, like for him, for the headquarters.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Right now he's saying the water, you know where that's going. And headquarters for a building. Agriculture is just wide open.
I asked Brad to explain. I wish I had my computer. I could read you. I just said I'll need to have more clarification because I explained the same thing. We don't carry over budget money. We can carry over special project money if it's specifically tied and started under a contract that we're going to pay out in this year because it didn't get finished in the year previous. And he did have a response, but it's on my email.
The more you do here and you do here, then, well, why can't I do it next year?
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't, unless that's a program that the board wants to change and do this or that, but I think you're starting on something that maybe you don't want to.
What did Brad say on his
I've got a portable battery that might hook into this.
Do you? Maybe we could see.
Is I guess mine's not going to work that way.
There we go.
Yeah.
You did it that way.
That's all right.
No, it went sideways.
Can you turn your phone sideways and it'll go?
You have a key, right?
Yeah. Bigger? There you go.
Dun, 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 dun.
You can open it with your fingers.
You can
hold
open
it right there.
Thank you, awesome. Thank you, Barry. Save the day.
Hopefully that's what you're
looking for. This is it. Thank you.
So you're saying you don't need my help, huh? Okay.
No, but thank you. Okay, so I just need to know, I guess the first thing I, well, let me share with you the rest of the special project requests. So for 2020, now that's, this is separate from what we just talked about because these are things that wanted to be done in 2020. Okay. For cabin three, you'll see we have the request of, oh, that's just going to make it hard to see, $5,000 to finish up cabin three. Joe, do you want to take a minute and talk about what that was going to be?
Yeah, I put $5,000 because we need all new mattresses. Because somebody threw them all away. And all new boxes.
Where are the mice going to sleep all winter? Couches. I threw the couches away, too.
And the paperwork that Barry gave me was almost $2,000 just on that alone. We still need some wallboard, and we need a new couch, a love seat for the front, and a few other things.
Let me have to throw the silverware away, too.
So I'm hoping that's a little high, but that's why I did that. And if we don't use it all, then some of it's got to go in cabin one anyhow.
Are you buying new for all that stuff, or can you?
We're going to try to find some used, but if not, we're going to have to go new. Take a loan from Barry and go.
From the water budget, right?
Hey, while you're getting a loan from Barry, I still haven't built my cabin.
The second special project is for cabin 8. Kurt, do you want to take a minute and talk about your cabin 8 special project request for $11,000?
Okay. Did my power cord not work for you?
No, I'm sorry. Do you need it back?
I will in a minute.
Okay. I know. Same. We're all...
Where is it?
It's just under the table right here.
I got a brand new battery in this, but...
Thank you. I've got your printout if you want that, Kurt. I brought that with me. Just in case.
Okay, so FF&E, I put $1,500 instead of just trying to break down hinges and this and that, this and that. A sliding glass door. Kathy, you had $450, but the best deal I could find on one was $800.
Sliding glass door, it ended up costing a little bit more, especially if you want to screen with it.
Okay, so I put $800 in for that. Shutters, $400. The bench that I'm building in there is great for little projects like shutters, so I could probably do that for under $100. But I just used the number that was on cabin 7. Interior doors, $1,200. Store power, $1,200. The cabinets, $3,900. And again, we can look at pieces if you guys want to look at pieces. It's, you know, drywall, mud, and paint. I've already got a lot of materials. I have the pine, the TNG that was used on the inside of 7. If I use that sparingly, and we talked about when you Brett and I went down.
I still need some of that to finish up, yeah.
Yeah.
That sleeve on the column isn't
my thing is, instead of doing solid walls of pine, we do a wainscot with pine, kind of frame it in, trim the corners, and fill it in with drywall. And you still get a nice look, and you're not quite out that big of an expense in time. Countertops, I put $700. A shower, $1,000. Just because I have no bearings to pull up on numbers on those. So if I do a mud shower.
Three.
Huh?
Oh, what did we pay for the cabin? $1,300?
For what?
We put a granite countertop in three for $1,300.
Okay, well, I've got $700 in countertop budget for kitchen and bathroom.
Okay.
And shower at $1,000, and that's basically, I mean, I do mud and wire tile work, so I can do a mud base shower floor. I thought I saw a top hat, which is the type of drain that you use in the shower out in the
storage. There was one in the storage in the tool room somewhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw one out there.
I saw one.
And then mud and wire, that's all minimally expensive. But if I were to have to tile that, buy the tile and everything, I could do that shower for $1,000.
and then you have a nice shower that will be there in 100 years.
Yeah, that kitchen, or the bathroom sink, uh-huh. We had a dual, and we cut it in half and used in seven, and was going to use eight.
Actually, there's still a double. The double's still there. That was a separate piece, okay. Scott told me. But we still need to cut it down and measure it, and if he builds the cabinets, and the cabinets can be built, fit the granite, whatever.
Is that looking pretty bad in there, in eight?
Eight.
Because that was the new sink, and then we had someone come out and put all the tiles down in the bathroom.
Yeah, the floor, tile floor is fine.
Yeah, but I'm saying Paul put in a new sink in there.
Yeah, I'm just following off the budget for cabin seven, basically.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've gone through cabin eight, and these improved, and the floor didn't look good, did they? We looked at it.
Yeah, we're going to leave that. The only question was is if we moved the sink, or the... If we move the wall, the same thing that we were doing to make the shower hole bigger, we're going to have to adjust on that.
Correct. So.
Okay. I'm sorry to
interrupt. Yeah. So anyhow, that's what cabin 8 does, and I'd like to get that started by February 1st. Try to get it done by May 1st and get that cabin open. If I can't get the whole thing done by May 1st, my proposal is that I will get it done to a point to where that cabin is usable for the summer. And then go back to finishing it next winter. So that way we don't lose any rental.
That's a good deal.
Okay, so the next special project request is for the fishing pond upgrades for $3,000.
You skipped common use picnic and camping.
Oh.
Is that
I didn't
what you were
have
talking
that.
About? Yeah. Okay.
I didn't have a dollar amount on there. I'm sorry. I didn't talk about both.
Yeah, I really wanted to talk to everybody and get ideas. I didn't have a guess, you know, what we're going to have available or what we want to put in. You know, if you're talking about doing something with a septic system, or if you're going to talk about doing something that's just a little campsite, or what exactly are we going to do to beneficially use the four individual lots that the association owns? One in Slide Canyon, two in Crawford Canyon, and one at Podunk. So I need a little suggestion and help and stuff along those lines. But
is that as one of those where the ponds are? That area? You said Crawford Canyon and Slide Canyon.
In Crawford, in Slide Canyon, the very north lot in Slide Canyon before you go back into the forest is owned by the association.
It's the association lot.
It's just
so is it down there by the. But what about the area where the ponds are?
It's
are
almost got almost
there.
No, you're talking about the fish ponds.
Uh-huh.
That's a totally separate thing. That's
okay,
the next.
All right. Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if that was
the next. But as you go up into Crawford Canyon, there's a little pond. I don't know if you're aware of where the pond is in Crawford Canyon.
Mm.
On the association lot 74 and 75.
Yeah, it's across from Ranch Inn, across from 74 and 75.
So
to just southeast of it.
A picnic area.
There's a pond there?
Yes.
There's a pond there. You drive across the dam of the pond. You can't see it because of the willows, but there's a...
Oh, that's it right on the left? That open meadow area? That's a pond. Wow.
Not on the left, no. As you're going in, it's on your right.
As you're going in, it's on the right. And I don't know where that is.
No, it's on your left.
No, wait a minute.
The pond you're thinking of is on Ben's lot. That's on your right, down off the road.
Okay.
Right where your Jeep was broke down last year... There's a driveway that cuts through. That's Ben's lot. He owns a pond, but above that, where the railroad, the deer stands, runs
around.
Up over the hill and then down sharp.
And when you get right down along there, it's along the left.
Yep. Okay. And the willows are growing into the road, and that all needs to be cleaned up to be safe.
Maybe we could do something with the track hoe on that.
Possibly.
That'd be a little. Well, yeah, it's got to come right by it.
It's right there.
I'd like to look and propose on those common use lots. The road should have never been changed to climb that steep hill. The road used to go just straight up kind of the valley and turn. It's hard if you're pulling equipment, if you're moving anything big, somebody's moving a container or stuff, you can't climb that hill, even in a pickup truck, unless you're moving pretty fast. And if you meet somebody coming the other way,
good luck.
It's very dangerous, very, very dangerous. But so I have some ideas on... possibly creating an RV place that the ranch could send people with an RV on lot 75, reroute the road. So I have to play with a few ideas and see, you know, what's practical, what's usable, and what exactly would that cost? And that's why I hadn't given you a dollar idea on that. And really, honestly, I was thinking to do the fish pond this year. If you notice, I'm gonna know what I put. Mm-hmm. To work on in 2020 and beyond, because this is going to be, I think, ongoing.
That's part of it. Okay.
I thought we also, at one point you talked about, depending on how the budget looked, we might bump the fish pond to 45. 15,
oh, 30. I did say we could do that. Yes, to 45. Yeah. I apologize. It was supposed to be bumped up to 45.
And that, there's actually going to be more work than $1,500 per pond, but my intention was that if the ranch budget covered that much, other people may kick in some and volunteer. I when I kind of made that announcement, either last board meeting or whenever I said, I had 20 different people email me saying, hey, I want to
donate
time, or I want to help do that. I can stack rocks, or I can move sticks or something. Oh. So,
yeah.
Some of the but you get lots of people that say they want to donate time, and then when it comes time to do it. Anyway, those are the two. The common use picnic or campsite areas. And I need to find out or get some feedback to how much do you think those things would ever be used. People that have their own cabin go and camp and picnic and use their own lot. People that don't have it, do they go to their own lot anyway?
I think, Podon, don't you guys use that lot for baseball and get together and park picnics and stuff?
Yeah, well, we did when Val was alive, but it's been used for cattle now, so. We used to get together on 24th of July and do baseball.
Well, it's just, you know. What do we want to do as an association to make that lot more usable to all members?
Well, that's the question. I don't want to upset them because it is close. It's not the 50 foot that everybody said it was. It's a little bit further than that because I walked it with Val, and so it is off. But we don't use it because it's locked up. And they did have a key there when Val was alive, but I don't know if it is there now.
Yeah.
They've been back and forth with their family trying to decide.
Well, that's I don't know if they're going to keep it or not. Or
they were going to sell it.
They decided that
one of the family members was going to buy it and try to do a bed and breakfast. And they got told that that would be something that could get approved. And I don't know how that could be. But anyway, so I'm not really sure. Going to have a visit with Mark on that a little bit more.
Okay, let's move on. Go.
Okay, so
those are your budgets as far as the fish ponds and common use, and we'll obviously discuss those further. Livestock.
That's just, now I've put everything in one place. So that's the request for budget money carryover. Put that on there for livestock, $1,700. You can't see that because it's
And that is
there.
The same, that's the same.
The same as what we talked about. Yes. So this is just all so that you can see everything.
And
same headquarters.
Same headquarters. Yep. New refrigerators we've talked about.
We can take that.
Well, we can't decide until we know.
Well, that's for headquarters. We can take that line item off because we replaced that one. But you're right. Propane refrigerators is down there also.
Pavilion is going to have to wait for right now. Pay and play upgrades. Let's see. Store remodel. That's our property manager's decision at this point.
Okay.
Which one?
Store remodel.
That might be a couple hundred bucks. I've looked at that and I think the utilization of the space in the store there with that counter. You don't have a counter person, so you don't need all that counter space. And I want to do more shelves, and maybe a shelf in the middle, which I'm talking to Mariah about maybe buying a couple of sections of shelving she has. It'd be about $150. And then you got more shelf space you ever had before. You can still walk around, and we can figure out the lockbox.
So it's not really remodeling or anything. It's just buying some shelving.
Yeah, it's just reorganizing and... I don't know. We're trying to do a lot in a little space in there with there's a really cool paper bees nest in there, and there's some matates on the floor and stuff like that. And I'm trying to figure out a different place
to display those instead of having them in the store. Because I think for the space we have, we're trying to do too much in there. We need to just back off a little bit.
Okay, venting of the two stories, that was suggested earlier on. Were you part of that discussion, Joe?
No, venting of the two-story cabins?
Yeah.
Heat, no.
It was basically because upstairs in the summer it gets really hot. We'll have to look at that. Do we have a number on that one?
No, only the highlighted ones did I have numbers for.
It was mentioned before, but never got into a discussion with it, no.
Well, let's figure that in.
Did you put Smith's shop on there?
As we go through.
No, I did not.
Did I not? Did you get the email on that?
I might not have. I might not have. I can add that. I'm running a paper copy here, too.
Well, the heat in upstairs, if you're switching all of them to solar eventually, then you don't have to use propane lighting, which causes the heat.
Yeah, so well, that will get alleviated.
Two things. One, as we go through remodeling and bringing the and doing maintenance and bringing the cabins up to speed, we can address that kind of as during the process. And obviously, as we can convert them to solar, that helps. That's not going to happen very fast, though.
Well, the heat isn't the problem. It's the summer. So the winter, the heat from the propane lights, the summer is what's the problem that you brought to me when I was doing the Cabin 7 and trying to put some kind of vent or circulate.
Anytime that I've stayed upstairs in those cabins in July or August, then you leave every window open and it's still, because there's a pretty good space above the top of the windows and doors that stays hot no matter what. We'll have to address it.
Yeah, we tried to get the ranch managers or caretakers this last time to make sure all screens were fixed so that the windows open wouldn't allow bugs and stuff to get in there. But that still wasn't done. And that was suggested as a winter project. Get your sizes, get your frames down, and when the summer comes up, it's time to put them in. Because that is so important to get cool up in that area. Yeah. The other thing, I know it's not up there, it has been discussed, but after speaking with Kurt, he says the ranch cabin is nice and comfortable and warm. But the other thing we talked about was insulation.
Yeah,
it's up there.
I threw that up there. I know. I'm sorry.
That's something I'm working with Brent on, because the only problem I see with the ranch house is the water freezes. And the closet that was the water heater is in is not well insulated. It doesn't have a proper door on it. And they actually have a new insulation out. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. It's comes in 4x8 sheets. It's marked for cutting. It's 3/8 of an inch thick. And it goes right over the framing. And then you put your drywall right over the top of it. A buddy of mine called me and said he just finished a house. But it's 22R insulation and 3/8 of an inch.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And Omar Davis is really a guy that would.
How expensive is it? You got to sell your firstborn to buy it?
Well, I asked him about cost on his first thing, because insulation is not expensive. And he goes, well, you know, with labor saving and everything, it's pretty. It might be a little bit more expensive.
Where do you buy it?
I got to get a hold of Omar. I'm going to call him when I leave him. Like, wow. But that's a thought. There's a couple of items that I thought I emailed to you.
Sorry, I don't. I didn't
one of them
see
is the closet for the water heater. I need to enlarge it and build it with a 2x4 framing on at least two walls to go to the wall of the house. And then it needs to be insulated. The floor needs to be insulated. It just needs a little more space. So if you got to work on the hot water heater, you can. And the one that was. I don't know who built the one in there, and I'm certainly not putting anybody down, because, you know, you work with what you have. But, you know, I think drip edge is a real important thing on any shed or building that we build, because that really saves the life of the roof of it. But that needs to be done on that anyhow. So, and that's about maybe a top $300 project. But my big deal here.
I'm sorry, Kurt, you said 300?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my big deal here is 30. Round it to $3,500, and you know where the blacksmith shop is at the ranch? There's the old stone and concrete there, and I don't know. I took that building because I'm thinking, and this is just me thinking, okay, so there's a building we can't use, and there's space in the headquarters that we could use. We don't have buildings that we can work in. And so I was going to tear that down and build a new building there that looked nice and rustic for the area. But then I was told, well, somebody, that might be a historical building.
So where they built the round pin?
Mm-hmm. Right next to it.
It's in front of the trash trailer parks on one side, the chicken coop and rabbit pen. And
yeah, it's right there.
It's the first building kind of on that corner.
Yeah. So anybody have any thoughts on that as far as its historical value?
Could you reuse some of that?
I thought about that, but I mean, all of the siding is just split. I mean, and I really like and I wouldn't throw anything from it away. I would reuse it somewhere, but I don't know if I could reuse it on that. But my proposal is, it's a building is going to come out to being the same size as a Cumberland building. It's going to cost half of what the Cumberland building would cost. I'm not trying to compete. This is an idea that I had before that she comes up with the Cumberland building. because I was curious. I knew that one was going to be, they're not cheap. But this is insulated, 2x6 framing, OSB on the outside, tin roof, and I talked to Larry about helping me haul out some logs. Juniper, and have them double live edge milled, and for the siding on this structure, it would be juniper double live edges, and of course you know how they just go like this, you just flip them around, and so you got big and small end, and chink in between them, so it looked like a log cabin. It looked really rustic. And then we would have a really nice, solid building that's going to be there for our lifetimes and then some. And for $3,400, and that could be an example of something that I as a private contractor, or we as a ranch, could offer and build on people's lots and when people want stuff. And that, it would cost them more than, not much less than a Cumberland building, but you have a much sturdier, usable space.
Well, I think if you can fit that in the budget, I think we need to clean up the area down there. And again, if it doesn't serve its purpose, then I would like to. And there's some things with historical value. I understand that we're not going to get rid of the cabin and up in the meadow. But bottom line is, if we can start cleaning things up and making things look better and more usable, then I'm all for it. So.
That's a big deal, and I'm hoping to get
approved. So I think we basically have identified special projects. We've identified approximately what the cost is going to be. Obviously, the projects are going to have to be discussed and decided on, and the details put to them as we move through the year. But I feel pretty good about it. What I would like to do, unless Mariah kicks me and says there's something else we need to do, I'd like to see a motion to approve the current budget, recognizing that there are a few modifications today, but most, you know, as we go through the year, we're going to have to adjust things depending on what happens. But I think we have a pretty good starting point that we can present to the members that we're being responsible with their money, and we're still covering the costs that need to be covered for things to run at the ranch. Anybody want to make a motion to approve the judge?
I do have a question.
Oh, all right.
No, I just didn't hear as far as the amount of money, or were you still talking about gas? A barbecue grills for the cabins, and how much
that didn't have a dollar amount on it for this year.
Does that mean it's not approved? Or
no, I think it still can be discussed. It's just these are our goals. I think that's on the list. If somebody can take the, I would guess that your cabin committee, you guys ought to look at it and say, okay, this is what we can get them from at Home Depot or special order or whatever, and make a proposal. And I mean, that's something that people can enjoy. And let's face it, the grills that are up there, they're re-roofing the building.
Say thunder this time of year.
Yeah. No, they're
going to take bodies out.
Yeah, that's right.
So if you can still move forward with that, because I know there are some cabins that do not have workable gas.
I can tell you from my experience, when I go anywhere, if there's not a grill, then it messes with my whole enjoyment, because yeah, everything exactly surrounds food. So
really, let me ask you a question on the grills, and this is just a random thought, because I've given some thought to grills. When you buy a barbecue grill, And you buy the base, and you got about 5 or 6 hours into putting it together, and it gets wheeled around everywhere, and it gets all rickety and very little time. Would it be a consideration to build a cabinet, permanent cabinet, for a drop-in grill type of situation? Would that make any sense?
Would it be too heavy for the decking?
It doesn't have to be. No.
I think you got to look at it on a cabin by cabin basis, mm-hmm. and keep in mind, sometimes when one breaks and we have to move it to the other one, so there needs to be, I think, some level of universal and mobility.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
all it is a matter of disconnecting and lifting them out. And
do you have access to them, to buy them?
Do I have access to
drop-in unit?
In my house in Camp Verde, I had a unit back then. It was about $1,000, but it was,
for a drop-in unit.
Yeah, it was pretty nice though. I got it at Barbecue School War down in Frost.
Yeah,
you seen those?
We got one.
But
the problem is, who are you going to have build it? If you're going to build it, I know there's projects back here that I hear you're saying that they're
really going to work. This is just an idea and a thought. I told Kathy the other day, I said, these are my proposals, and I think I got myself booked for the year. So I'm done. But
if the drop-ins are about $1,000, we just bought a barbecue for $150. So $150.
You can replace
it 7 times. Yeah, I know. And do you want to keep replacing them? And you have this period you go through where a grill doesn't work, but somebody knows how to get it to work. But somebody doesn't know. It's just a period it goes through where it's just a mess. These grills actually have some BTUs.
I think we need whatever type of grill, we want something that is not necessarily the least expensive thing that we're going to replace. We need to get something mobile or immobile that's going to last us for 5 to 7 years without a whole lot of maintenance.
Exactly.
So just keep that in mind. I don't think we can make that decision today. You guys are going to have to do some checking, okay, and then come back and say, this is what we found, just like we did with the fire pits. This is what we found. This seems to work. And then we decide from there.
Do we want, I think you're coming to a point where you're going to say, are we going to approve this special projects budget or not?
No, we're not talking. We can't really approve the special projects budget because there are too many movies. All I want to do is the normal, what we have coming in and what goes out for normal expenses budget needs to be approved. The special projects, we look at those through the year and determine, okay, can we fit it in or can we do it?
She was concerned about, do I need to plug a number in there for barbecue grills?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Or not, and I didn't put any number in on those improvements, and I didn't know if I needed to spit out a number to get it in there, or do we keep evaluating?
Yeah.
I think we ought to approve some of them. We need to approve the carryover for water project and for headquarters, and if we're going to carry over the livestock budget, those need to be approved so that I can close the books, and then I can just transfer all the money to savings, and then you guys can decide, okay, here's our list. I'll compile it.
Then we look at what we have in savings, and we compare that to the list of projects and the numbers attached, mm-hmm. and say, okay, which special projects are we actually going to do? Because of that list of 8 or 10 items, we're probably going to do 3.
Right.
We have about $45,000 total of special projects right now that have numbers on them. And that's about all we have in savings.
There's $2,000 of carryover for headquarters that I want to, I don't know what it was there originally for. It's just there from last year. And I asked Mariah to let me carry that over just because of the timing, and I don't really have my head around what's going on, but like building these workbenches that we need in the shops and the lawn, the yard area around the ranch house. I've already started picking up horse poop.
Tree limbs.
And tree limbs. And, I just reflect back to when Phil was saying, yeah, I spent 10 hours cutting firewood, and you got this much firewood.
Yeah.
And but I see, it's like there's a few pieces that where a tree limb got cut into firewood in the yard.
And they're still there.
Laying over here, and there's a pile over there, and then there's some over there. And it's just, it all needs to get cleaned up, but the lawn itself is in really bad shape. And it's all clumped, and it's uneven.
Is that because the cows were on it?
It's not. It, I don't know. It's just
probably from the
is
there, is, really
isn't dog. That part of the lease agreement? Is the cows are not supposed to be at the headquarters?
The one area of sanctity that we have is the headquarters and the 5 acres directly behind the headquarters, and that's our area of land. And so I'm that's why I'm really trying to. And I'm not trying to pick on Brad or the lease. I'm just trying to understand it and make sure that we all understand our perimeters. So moving forward, we can do what we're allowed to do without offending Brad and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. That's,
I thought it was.
You know, that's where unfortunately he sits on a fence and he's the target because this is where he chose to be and that's where he is. So we have to. The headquarters, the corrals, he is, I believe the terminology, non-exclusively, he has non-exclusive use of the corrals.
Correct.
Which means that the ranch, and the thing that I want everybody to understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Barry, but we are the leasors, and he is the leasee on that part of the world, and he is a guest on the ranch, and it should be acting as such. And cleaning up after himself and whatever. So
I thought he was using the headquarters for loading cattle onto trucks and hauling them off.
He's allowed.
He can. That's part of the corrals. That's part of the corrals. It's non-exclusive, meaning
okay.
That we can use it. They can use it.
Yeah. And he doesn't dictate the rules of who has use of it or
no.
Okay.
No,
let me pull the discussion back to. To there you go. So let's let me pull you back to budget because we want to make some decisions. And then, okay, so I'm calling for a motion to approve not the special items but the regular
operating budget
that as of right now is running $2,600 short of income. I need a motion to approve that or to disprove it or to carry on and discuss this until June.
I would make a motion to approve.
All right, second. All right, Kurt's got a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. All right.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right. So with the budget, we've got that approved. I'm going to ask that you guys approve the three carryover items that have been discussed. That's the water project, the ranch house budget, and the set aside for livestock that we'll have further discussion on before it's spent, but let's continue to set that aside. Anybody, I'm just going to ask, does anybody object to doing those things?
No.
No.
Okay, so that's done. I would propose that with the 40 or whatever money we had left over at the end of the year, that money be placed in a savings account for right now to be allocated to special budgets as we decide and as we progress through the year of 2020. Anybody object to that?
No.
The alternative is we keep it in the operating budget. It makes sense to set it aside since it's not necessary for our operating budget. It makes sense to set that aside to be used for these special projects, right?
Yep.
All right. Any objection to doing that, John? Any objection to doing that?
No, none.
All right. Any other decisions we have to make budget related? Okay.
Do we want to talk about CapEx?
I think that would be a good idea real quick.
About what?
Capital expenditures.
Oh.
What do we call it? Capital expenditure. Okay.
Most of these special projects would be considered capital expenditure.
Thank you. So somebody's spending, generally it's $500 CapEx, the cap on your capital expenditures. Capital expenditures start at X amount of dollars. So generally it's like $500. And if somebody wants to go out and spend $3,200 on tires, they need to get board approval. That's what putting a CapEx on.
So the rule has been, or the functioning understanding has been to this point, at least while I've been on the board, that you can dip into your budget and spend up to half of your budget without board approvals to give you some flexibility to move without having to wait. Okay, I got to wait for another month for board approval. Sounds like you're proposing that we change that so that we possibly have
maybe ignorance of your current system too. I mean, that doesn't sound unreasonable.
The reason being is before then we said, okay, any expenditure has to be
approved by the board. That's unworkable because it ties your hands to be able to take care of some things.
Okay.
I don't know that 50% of your budget is the right number. It seems pretty big to me.
Yes, I was just thinking.
Especially, I mean, for some of our budgets, John,
for the road department, it's got to be that. Yeah. Easily. He'll go over that in a minute.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, you know, Mike, when you have, even though you have a budget for this, when you're going to go out and make a $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 purchase, maybe a Joe Bose knows somebody who's got something a little cheaper we can get a better deal on, but we're encouraging people to shop around and get the better price on things, not the cheaper product, but the better price for comparing apples to apples.
Well, I think we need to the extent possible, have discussions of any expenditure in meetings, but I would like to continue with the general idea of, you know, if you have something and you've, you know, done your due diligence so that you can explain it in the next meeting, that you're free to spend at least a significant portion of your budget without having to come back and have a meeting and a formal approval.
Especially with roads. I mean, roads is $15,000, and if John finds somebody for $12,000 and he could get on it next week, if we miss that window, we've blown it.
John, you have something to say?
John should have that.
Yeah, I was just going to reiterate what Joe said there. I, you know, with me, sometimes they have to pay some money to get equipment out here. And like last year, I had an opportunity to save some money, yet I was going to spend a whole lot. And I only had basically a couple of days to figure out yes or no on it, or I wouldn't have got it done. So when it comes to roads and getting that equipment out and doing a lot of work of screening and spreading, it can eat up money fast, but you do get the job done.
Well, I propose we continue kind of how we have in the past. We need to come and have discussions when possible as far as spending money. Anything that you're going to do over 50% of your budget needs to be brought back. What we had done in the past is anything over that, you have to get at least three other board members' approval so that you're not just running off and spending money, that you have to have a phone call. But it doesn't require us to have a full-blown meeting if there's something urgent.
And this is what a lot of the board members have done. If there's something big coming up, it's not 50% of your budget, but the fact that you want to have compliance and accepting from other board members. I know Joe calls other people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other people call him.
Yeah.
So you're not left out there anyway. They do contact, even though it's not a meeting time.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of communication between the board members, including Mariah. What do we have? What can we do? What do you think? Is this a good idea? Cut it down, whatever. So there is communication. And
yeah,
with you new on the board, that may not have been something that you kind of felt, but that's what happens.
Okay.
And we're not talking about 50% of individual categories. We're talking overall. So, for example, general and admin is $9,500. So potentially, I mean, that's not a good category example, but potentially we could spend $4,500 out of that and not need an approval.
We would go through and discuss that just as to those people that are involved.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Unless there's anything urgent, otherwise we've been a long time here. Is there a way that we can get away without a meeting in February and have a meeting by telephone?
I think that'd be great.
I'm good to go. The budget was the big one, so yeah.
It worked for me, because that's why I'm going to do it either way.
Yeah. I propose, just because of travel, spring break, some other things, let's schedule our next meeting in February. I think it's scheduled for February 8th.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
8th, we'll have it at 11 o'clock, and we'll do it as a call-in meeting unless something changes between now and then that requires a face-to-face.
Will we have an executive call prior?
Probably not. I think we've addressed everything. I mean, I can't tell you for sure until we get closer, but I'm not planning on it right now.
Okay.
And Mariah will send out notices to remind you and give you the call-in information. We'll just do it on the regular call-in line. If there aren't any other concerns or broken
links...
Is
the call-in line a local number?
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to be called in.
Yeah.
I'll figure that it's not local,
but no, we'll figure it out. If we can call
I can call you, but you can't call me, huh?
Correct.
I'm sure we can figure out a way to call you. We'll work on that.
Okay. Will we start paying back?
Because there's no long distance on the land.
That was in the regular budget, so
I
would say yes.
I can call 800 numbers and like that.
Yeah.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I can call 800 numbers.
Well, it is a toll free number.
Yeah,
so maybe it'll work. Okay. We can try and see.
If there's nothing else, then we'll declare this meeting adjourned.